salesman, dude.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We got a great show. We got a special show I'm doing twice a week today, this week, because all you guys are complaining, I don't do enough shows, man. Well, now I got a great show. We got two UFC fighters in the house. Vince Pichel coming off a huge knockout, one round knockout. Got it done quickly against, what was that guy's name again? The guy you knocked out?
Oh, shit. Damian Brown.
Fuck,
I almost forgot.
You don't even forget it. Yeah, that's my kind of fighter.
That's a nickname. Oh, shit, Damian Brown. Shit, Damian.
And and also Tarion Ware, who fought in the UFC on 1 week notice. UFC, what was it? 214. And now you got a huge fight against Sean O'Malley coming up, which we're going to talk about in a second. I can't wait for that fight. First, I want to thank our sponsors, Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everybody, and they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the U.S., and as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnerships with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Their beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient, they are reducing food waste, which is always a good thing. Look, cooking together builds strong family bonds. And research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per day. Me and my wife, we have Blue Apron night. Probably the only night we're not fighting is Blue Apron night. It's affordable, it's variety, it's flexible, it's easy, and it's guaranteed. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and be able to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's blueapron.com/MMA roast. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So here we are. It's Friday. I got two great fighters as well as Ian, Ian Harris. I didn't mean to exclude you, who's probably one of the best coaches/comedians I know.
I'm the only coach/comedian you know.
That is very true. Well,
that's why you're number one.
Exactly.
Well, Dean Thomas does comedy, not as much
so
as you do. You're much better at a comedy than him.
That's good.
But he's a good comic. I think he might be a better coach. I don't know. He has. It's weird to say because you take people that are like amateurs and pros, but that are getting going, and Tarion probably is your star pupil, correct?
Definitely one of.
But he's
now.
part of a big like ATT,
yeah.
And he kind of gets these like world champions come to him.
Right.
So it's hard to say who's a better coach.
It doesn't matter. It's not a competition. until we fight each other.
Yes. It's not. But Tarion, let's talk about you, man, because I was at your last fight. I thought you did well.
Yeah.
You took the fight on 1 week notice.
Yeah.
You fought a guy. Well, who'd you fight again?
Cody Stamann.
Cody Stamann, who's a great wrestler, then yeah. College wrestler,
yeah.
and your Achilles heel, let's say, if you had one, would be wrestling.
Right.
And now 2 days before your fight, Ian hit me up and said, "Hey, do you have Bubba Jenkins' number? We need a wrestler." and that's what I was like. This might not be a good sign, but I thought it was a good solid fight. You were winning the feet strikes. He just kept taking you down.
Yeah. I mean, he's a bigger guy. He's mostly fought most of his career at 145. Even though he's gonna be fighting at 35, he's a big, strong wrestler. You know, kid. Going into that fight, I hadn't really been able to train as much. I was dealing with some neck issues. And then, going to that fight, it's just kind of one of those things. You know, they call you, it's your debut, you got to take it. So I took it, got my foot in the door, went out there and did it as best I could, and put on a show. I'm just, I was happy, that, the matchmaker, Sean Shelby, after he was pleased, with the performance. And, now I got another fight coming up, so happy about that.
Now, you were in the fight the whole time. I mean, it was one of those things where, even in the third round, I'm like, if Tarion catches him, this fight could be over.
Yeah.
It's just a matter, and it seemed like you did hurt him at one point, but then he went right for the takedown.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I hurt him a couple of times, the kid just would shoot for that double leg, man, and it was just couldn't sprawl on it. It was just one of those things. I was just trying to get back to my feet as much as I can, and he got to the point where he didn't want to be hit anymore, so he just started just trying to hold me down. It wasn't really doing much, when he took me down, but just pretty much holding me, and I was just trying to get back to my feet. And then taking on 8 days notice, not much energy. To be able to expand, a big, strong guy on top of you and be able to get back up to TV consistently. But you know, it is what it is. I'm not bitter about it or anything like that. It's what's done is done, and I'm just looking forward to get this W in December.
Now I got
to
ask you: during your fight, there was this old black guy in the back chanting the whole time, and he was saying, "We are the banana everywhere we go. People want to know who we are." And is he a relative of yours?
No,
do you know who that guy was?
I have no idea.
Because I started singing with him.
I did have some friends that were like randomly happened to be out in Vegas that I went to high school with, and like one of the things like were like the Romans. That was our high school mascot, so people were yelling that out.
Makes sense. That must have been someone from your high school because he was singing that the whole time. And then I started singing too, and then everyone got mad at us. We got to call people along for the sing, but I thought maybe it was your dad or somebody.
I have no idea who that was.
Oh, okay.
You know, the funny thing too is it's funny because we always joke about this with, you know, he's never really been, people say a lot with the wrestling, oh, you're wrestling, but the thing is, it wasn't even wrestling in this last fight. It was the fact that up a weight class, dude was a good wrestler, and normally it's like, you know, he gets up. He gets up, beats him up. Gets him up, beats him up.
Yeah.
And eventually, they tire out, and he finishes him or destroys him in like a third round. But in this, normally we would have, you know, 10 less pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 from him because he was way bigger. And we would have time to work that cardio of getting up, getting up, getting up. To where it's like, we don't really mind if a guy's a better wrestler. Because he can't, no one usually can hold him down. But by the second, third round.
It was always my Achilles heel too. Yeah. I never did wrestling because I could always get back up.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, we're not going to stop a guy. You're not going to stop Bubba Jenkins' takedown. You're not going to stop this. I mean, Cody Stamann is 15-1. Big. You're not going to stop his takedown. But if you can get up and beat him up every time he comes in, eventually he's going to tire out.
Yeah.
But in this case, they both kind of tired out. And normally Terry doesn't get tired, but this fight it was like, you know, he was also in the middle of moving. No excuse, but he's in the middle of moving. Like, hey, you're fighting the UFC. It was like, he's like driving a moving truck to like move his house. I'm like, he's like, when? 8 days.
Well, you didn't move very much during the fight, but.
Exactly.
He said
he was in camp.
Right. No, I thought it was a good experience for you. But it also, I think, what you should take away is that you belong there.
Yeah.
Because I thought that you were in that fight the whole time. It was just one of those, like, fuck, one of those wrestle fuck fights where I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, and I was
embarrassed, actually, if you watched the fight. I still remember, like, you watch it on what's on Fight Pass or whatever. It's funny because I'm sitting there sitting with our boxing coach, Adam, and I'm talking and saying something. And Terrence like picking him up the third round. I'm like, all right, he's starting to wear this guy down, and he stuffs one of his shots and hits him, bang, 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 and then like fakes it, hits him again. And I was just said something like, you know, back off, he's gonna shoot, because he was like, he would throw like one too many punches and the guy'd get underneath it. And I'm just about, I like said that, and just as about to see it shoots in and double action, and you just see me on the cut away because I go. Like that. I go, God damn it! And then it like cuts away. It's hilarious. I'm like,
well, you're a good coach, man. I'm telling you, I was, you know, it happens. You're a good coach, and it wasn't one of those things where you come out and you get knocked out in 30 seconds, and you're like, fuck, maybe this is not the place for me.
Exactly. It's stressful as fuck too, watching someone else fight or coaching someone else that's fighting, because like you see what they can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're kind of like helpless.
Oh no.
Shit that you see, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like.
Coaching wrestling. Wrestling started, and this is a little off topic, but the first day of practice, one kid I remember a couple years ago said to me, he could never wrestle before, and I'm showing him moves, and he goes, can I do my own moves? And I was like, no, you got to do the moves that I tell you. And then I was curious, what are his moves?
Yeah,
like,
you should have just said, yeah, let him go for it.
Oh, I kind of figured that he was a little chubby. I didn't think he knew any moves, you know? But then there was another kid that... I show a move. I spent like 10 minutes showing a single leg, right? And I'm the whole thing, the 6-step single leg. I go, anybody have any questions? And this little kid goes, can we put the air conditioner on? I was like, no, that's not one of your questions. And then anybody else? Some kid goes, can we play a game? I go, yeah, here's the game. Win wrestling matches, you fucks. Fucking, what is this? Like,
I had a kid in jiu-jitsu just the other night say, like, he probably had never done anything. And he said, can I show you my submission that I would do for you? And I'm like, this is your second class. How would you know what sub-? And it was, I'm sure it was like some sort of something you saw on wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and everybody's just funny. He goes, He goes, oh, yeah, that's kind of like something I like to do. Can I show you a thing? I'm like, what do you mean? You've been here 2 days. You don't even know how to, like, you know.
Maybe he's watching those Gracie videos.
Yeah, exactly.
The worst, though, is the parents. We had a parent one time who was told me he was an Olympian wrestler. I Googled him. He was like a meth head. And he was convinced that he could, like, you know, he was showing the kids all these his kid was the greatest. You know, that's the good thing about wrestling where, like, that's better that, like, in, you know, soccer, football, basketball, every parent thinks their kid's the best.
Right.
You know, my kid should start. And you know, it's hard in soccer because we're wrestling. Like,
it's like no,
you put him against another kid and he goes, no, well, there it is.
Yeah, that's what it, yeah, right. I mean, there's really no arguing whether or not your kid's better than the other right. kid unless maybe it's a close call or something right. or, you know.
That's my favorite. It's like when the guy's coming off the street and we always laugh about this. Always some guys, especially where we're at now, just opened up a new gym and where we were before in Hawthorne, you get a lot of like the hood, the street kids are like, yeah, I got 10,000 fights. I never lost. I want to try this. How long before I can get a fight? It's always that. If I join up here, can I get a fight in like 2 weeks? It's always that. How long before I can fight? And I'll always be like, yeah, sure, sign this waiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
See that 110-pound girl? Yeah, go with her.
Really?
It's like, oh, my God. And we had a couple girls. No, we had a 125-er. And they would just beat the living shit out of these guys. And guys would be like, you know, like 160-pound dudes, you know. They just get beat up by a 125-pound girl, just cracked and taken down and submitted and just looking up at you like, can you help me? And you're like,
yeah.
And afterward, I'm like, let's give it like 3 or 4 weeks. Right? Let's see how you do. Yeah.
I remember my first jiu-jitsu class. I went in there and I went up against Mac Danzig. And he beat the crap. He submitted me like 15 times in 5 minutes. And I was like, basically crying to myself, like, fuck. And he's like, dude, if it was a high school wrestling match, you would have won. And I was like, that was actually made me feel better, actually. But then another kid I go up against, he puts a triangle on me, but I never did jiu-jitsu before. So I didn't know that you couldn't rampage slam.
Right.
So I just picked him up above his head and just went boom. And the coach was like, no, you're not allowed to do that. I go, but I saw it on TV. The guy, they're like,
this is jiu-jitsu, you animal.
I didn't know you couldn't do that. I didn't know you couldn't.
I choked a kid out unconscious in my old gym. Guy came in and he was freaky. He was freaky athletic and he had never done anything, or so he said, but he seemed like he was kind of understood some shit, right? But he would get, you know, he didn't know much, obviously. Yeah. So he was like kind of spazzing out, and some, I think it was a girl, even caught him in like an arm bar or something, and he like picked her up and like slammed her on the mat. And I was like, dude, you can't slam people. He's like, what? What are you doing? And I'm like, I thought you said you'd train a little bit. I wouldn't have let you roll if you didn't. And he's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. And then, so I'm like, oh, I'll go with this guy. So I got him in a triangle, and he picked me up and rampage slammed me.
Yeah.
And same thing, like he picked me up, but he went to pick me up, and I just held his head, and he slammed me down. And I said, man, I told you not to slam anymore. He's like, what? Oh, I go, don't fucking do that again. So I let go, and started rolling. I caught him in a triangle again. He picked me up to slam me. And I hooked his leg, and I pulled him, and he went to slam me down, and I just, and he started tapping, and I'm like, I just held on.
Oh,
I put him to sleep. I woke up, and he woke up, and I go, that's three fucking times you slammed somebody. Once was a girl. Don't fucking ever slam anybody again.
Yeah, what an asshole. That's insane.
But what if he doesn't remember what you did?
Yeah, exactly. He just wakes up. What just happened? Shit, I should have.
Did I win?
Yeah, exactly.
Did I hit my head when I slammed you?
Yeah, exactly.
There was a kid at Legends, this black kid that, like, we were going up against each other in, like, kickboxing. It was, like, you know, light. Very light sparring, kicking, and then he kicked me in the fucking head. Like I saw, like, you know, like you see, like the stars, and I was like, and I was about to shoot a double in kickboxing class, just fight him, right. but like the teacher separated us because the teacher saw that I was like, all right, we're in a fight. Right. Like,
saw your fucking eyes crossed. Was like, this guy needs help.
Yeah, like fuck this. Have you ever got any gym wars, Vince?
Yeah, I have. It happens almost every time I go to another gym, honestly. Like, I get in a battle with some fucker that, like, hits me, and then I'm like, I try to just take it, you know what I mean? Like, whatever, and then it keeps coming, so I'm like, fuck it, you know? And then I step it up, and he steps it up, and then...
Did it happen in Australia before your fight?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not there. Everyone's actually really cool out there. It was kind of weird.
Nice.
That's happened to me.
Ever happened at Alliance?
Alliance, yeah. I've gone to battles at Alliance.
With who? All the time over you and Paul Bradley?
I've gotten some battles with Paul Bradley, like Mike Chandler, Ross Pearson.
Like fights?
Not like real fine, but like when we spar, like we're fucking each other up, you know what I mean? We're going to like take each other out.
Yeah.
Like all those dudes over there spar like that. It's kind of fun sometimes, but then sometimes it's like, I'm not in the mood for this.
It's okay every now and then. I think that's That's a, I don't know, man. I've had a lot of fights and arguments with people about that. These, some people just go way too fucking hard all the time in sparring. I'm like, it's not good for longevity. It's not good for, and it really doesn't, if you can't control yourself in your own gym, how are you going to control yourself in the fight? Like, yeah. And that's what it comes down to, is like, if you can't control yourself to where it's like, you know, and there's some guys that just, they always elevate it a little bit, but there's a couple of those guys you every single time they get hit what they perceive as a little bit hard, and it's 0 to 100. And it's like, dude, yeah. if you can't control your emotions at all.
But on the other hand of that, there's guys that like really don't mean to hit you hard, but they just got fucking bricks in their hands. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Like you?
Okay. Yeah. I don't feel like I hit people hard, but I know I do when I hit people. So I try not to like purposely hit hard, but
right.
Like a lot of times my coaches will put me with bigger guys because of that. So then like, I just think, fuck it, I'm not going to, like, hit this guy light. I'm going to fucking wail on him because he's bigger than me. And then I end up getting, like, most of the time I get in wars with bigger dudes.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, I got to fucking prove something against this fucker because now coach put me against this guy.
I used to hate in jiu-jitsu when they put me with a guy with, like, 250. Right. And he's doing all strength moves. And I'm like, motherfucker, like...
You've been choked out by a fucking belly?
I'm just like, come on, really, dude? Like...
defense at that point.
Your last breath of air is in his belly button and shit.
So I'm thinking about going back to jiu-jitsu, and you opened up your own gym?
Yeah, a month ago.
Where?
Washington and La Brea in Los Angeles. So on Washington Boulevard between La Brea and Crenshaw.
Now how hard, is Taryn go to your gym?
Yeah. Now all my team came. Everybody from my other gym came.
Now how hard was it to open up your own gym?
Well, we'll see how if it lasts. But well, the funny thing is I had no intention of opening up a gym. Like, I'd talked about it for a year or so, but, you know, for, like, the last 15 years, I've operated out of other people's gyms and have been, like, a minority partner or, you know, or I had the fight team, which was my fight team, but I was kind of renting space out of their gym. And it's cool. Like, it works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work. And so I always talked about, oh, one of these days I should open up a gym. But, you know, comedy and all this other shit, I don't really have time for that. And I'm driving by this place right by my house, like blocks from my house, and I see this for lease sign and the door's open. So I'm like, I'll pull over. So I jump out, and it's like in an area that used to be kind of shitty, but it's coming up. So I'm like, maybe it's cheap. You know, I walk in, perfect setup for, I mean, a small gym. It's not huge. It's only like 1,500 square feet, but it's 1,700 square feet, but it's, you know, perfect setup. I'm like, wow, this is a really nice setup. The guy, I start talking to the guy, he's like, trying to rent it. He's like, I have a hard time renting it because it's kind of in the hood and it's on the side of a couple of weird businesses and it used to be a dispensary. And it's like, I have a hard time renting this place. And he gave me this like crazy deal on rent. I was like, are you sure? He said, yeah. So I like thought about it and called a couple of friends and I said, do you guys want to put in a little bit of money? And they're like, yeah. And then I gave him money like within a couple of days and 20 days later we opened up.
So you put wrestling mats in?
Yeah, it's only wrestling mats.
Now, where'd you get the wrestling mats?
No, we just used regular jiu-jitsu mats, zebra mats.
Okay, so you went there, you got zebra mats, then you put in heavy bags?
A few heavy bags, just padded the walls on both sides, and then cage wall on one side. It's not big enough for like a full cage or anything yet, but if one of the places move out, we can expand it and do it down the road. But,
well, if you got the wall, you don't really need a cage.
Yeah, and it's wall on both sides because you can come in the front or the back so that you don't have to walk across the mat. So it's padded walls on both sides, and then the third wall is cage wall, and then the other side is heavy bags. And then in the back we have like a little Olympic weights, treadmill, just kettlebell, some basic conditioning stuff. And then in the front we have the reception area, and I built a charging station for like everyone every kind of phone you can have. So you always want their phone. So I'm like, you got just plug in your phone when you come in.
Is there a shower there? Or
not a shower yet, but we do have space for a shower. I'm going to add one eventually.
No, everyone says
that's like super huge for me for like
shower.
Yeah.
We've got the space like for it, but we got to open up the.
I don't even like to sit in my car all fucking nasty after I train. You know what I mean?
I bring those fucking those large camping wipes.
Oh, do you? Just wear a bath real quick.
Right. By the way, when you were buzzing in, the reason I didn't buzz you in because my wife got it to her phone. People buzzing in. That's why I didn't hear you at the door.
Downstairs. Oh, start buzz me in then. What's your problem?
No, but when you hear something crazy though, but go back to your gym. I was in China at a club, and somebody was ringing my door here, and it went to me in China, and I pressed 9 and buzzed them in, and I'm like, how good is fucking technology where I'm in fucking China, right? Because all of a sudden I answer the phone, I hear UPS, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, that's pretty fucking cool. But anyway, back
He's
to
like,
you.
Where are you? You're cool. Like, I'm in China making that shit that I just sent there.
That's hilarious. But back to you and your gym. So everyone says that when you open up a gym, you make money on not the MMA fighters, but the regular people that go right, there. Right. And now, is it hard getting the regular people to show up?
Yeah, that's, well, we're working on it. We've only been, like I said, we've been there 6 weeks, and not even 6 weeks. And we've got about 15 or 20 people. We need probably like 30 or 40 to kind of pay the bills. Yeah, the fighters, you know, even if they did, I don't really want to charge much or whatever, because to me, it's, there's a lot of other aspect, a lot of other good things having fighters, and half of them have money, and half of them are like, you know, like we have a guy that works part time at night at a laundromat. I mean, it's like,
no, Terrion's an Uber driver. He actually, yeah, exactly. he's taking he's taking a shift off right now.
An electrician.
Yeah, he's legitimately an electrician in the UFC.
A union electrician.
He's nice. He's ranked top 30 in the world in his weight class, and he's a union electrician. he actually works at the show. But during his fights,
I rigged the lights before we go.
Yeah, exactly.
One of his fights, there was a blackout. He's like, "Hold on, one sec," and actually went. He actually left the octagon. What do you offer in your gym? Because I want to go to a gym.
Basically, we have jiu-jitsu. We have
gi or no gi?
Both.
Okay.
Striking. Our striking is boxing and kickboxing because we don't have enough space to do. At my old gym, we had two rooms, so you could do kickboxing here, boxing here, jiu-jitsu here. So we have to go classes back to back. So we just, our striking classes is boxing and kickboxing, and we do it every night. So some nights we may gear more toward cardio, depending on who shows up. Other nights it's straight technique. Other nights it's some light sparring, and depending on who.
What do you have at noon? Because really?
No, we don't. I'm actually going to add noon classes, but I don't have anything yet.
Because I do comedy at night. I can't go to these like 7:30 classes. So yeah. Noon is when I can go.
No, I'm actually going to add. We're going to add noon classes and. And a weird one is a 4 o'clock. Like a lot of people who have these weird shifts where they work from 7 to 3. They're like, "Do you have anything from 4? Because I don't want to wait till 6.
That's my shift is normally like 7 to 3. Or I'll either work early morning or work like at night.
Yeah, I'm getting that. So I'm going to do a noon and a 4. But right now we don't have enough people to even fill the other classes. So I'm just going to add them as people want them. You know,
you gotta be like a Coke dealer where you give out
like
free
a friendly one.
No, yeah. you like give out free Coke.
Yeah.
You get people addicted and then you charge them. So you got to give like your first week free, and then people come and then you go, "All right, now you have to charge them."
That's what we've been doing. We've been giving everybody Coke, and then when they show up.
Put it like choke them out, just put a little bit in there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm right though. Aren't I right though?
Yeah. That's it for sure.
Now, all right, cool. Now, all right, so I'll come to your gym. Who do you have? Yeah. You have wrestling classes or no?
We're actually starting to do wrestling classes, but it's at night. But we're nothing in the daytime. But we do have wrestling.
Who do you have coaching wrestling?
Well, right now Adam Hunter's coaching.
No,
wrestling.
No,
okay. No, what we do just for the team after jiu-jitsu Tuesdays and Thursdays. One of our fighters. Was the wrestler Ali Nazari, and then also do you know Nathan? Nathan Adams.
Yeah, Nathan's coaching. Yeah.
He comes in at night on Tuesdays usually and teaches.
Oh wow, yeah. I like Nathan.
Yeah, he's been gone for like 2 months though so he's gonna come back. But he was doing it at our old gym, and this one's actually close.
And you're teaching grappling.
Yeah,
and you're a black belt.
I'm a 4-stripe brown belt for many years.
Well, when are you getting your black belt?
I don't. The thing is, when you own your gym, you don't have anybody to train under.
So what about Terrion? Give him his black belt.
Who gave you your brown belt? Your brown belt?
Well, long story, but one of my last person I trained with was actually, I trained part time for MMA, and he trained me in jiu-jitsu was Pedro Munoz.
Oh wow.
But Pedro moved to Florida. He's at ATT now. So he was gonna give me. He verbally gave me my black belt a long time ago. But the thing is that he's not stupid. IBJJF, you have to have your dues paid, and you have to pay your dues and to be current.
Oh yeah, ATT's got rules.
Well, this is the IBJJF has rules. The Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Foundation. So you have to be a second degree black belt to give a black belt. So he's like a third degree black belt. But because he hasn't paid his dues,
come on,
he's still a first degree.
That is
black
so
belt.
Fucking dumb.
So they control jiu-jitsu. There's like a jiu-jitsu like.
Yeah. So the thing is, he could give me, which he's already said, yeah, you're a black belt. But if I want to like register as a black belt under the IBJJF to have,
do you know what? That's why people
and stuff like that. It has to be under a second or third degree black belt. And he's like legally not that.
Yeah, a lot of times you sign up for a fucking tournament. Like if you're not affiliated, like if you don't like to have an affiliation with like someone that's deemed
they don't
like
they
black
don't,
belt, they won't let you compete.
That's so. That's like saying you're an NCAA champion, but because you didn't buy our wrestling shoes, it doesn't count. It's like
I not feel so bad for not doing jits tournaments.
But that's it. Like if he wants to compete as a purple belt, he has to be ranked under a black belt IBJJF
coaches and an IBJJF coach in order to sign off on for me to go do it.
That is so dumb.
Otherwise, what, you're competing with all the white belts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. which makes less sense. Yeah. Like, so you're gonna put some purple belt with a white belt because he's not ready. So yeah, so that's so I was actually gonna go out to Florida and get my black belt from Pedro, and he goes, I call IBJJF because I haven't done anything to get my ranking. I haven't paid them the thing, so it's gonna cost him like, you know, $8,000 or something like that to get it all up. And he's like, can't really do it right
God
now.
God damn.
So I gotta find. So then the thing is, like, I could just start training somewhere else, but it's like, I'm not just gonna show up at Cobrinha's and be like, hey, give me my black belt. That doesn't work that way. I'm like, now I gotta train with him for a year or two. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm pushing 50. I can't be.
Are you only pushing 50?
I'm 46.
Wow, you look good for that. Oh, for 46.
I know you're that old.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're a good dude, man. I do gotta talk to you about a lot of things because you've been married for 45 years, and
actually it's my anniversary. And,
27 years.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Now my wife, you know, my marriage is going well. I mean, I love my wife more than anything.
Oh,
but
here we go.
My marriage is going well after 2.5 days.
It's funny because it's been 3 months, and you don't factor in how hard the first couple months are. I think a lot of women, they assume we're going to get married, and all of a sudden it's going to be butterflies and fucking and pony shows and sun and all this.
Yeah, because they watch so many fucking Disney movies.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens, right? Seriously. They should watch The Lion King where the father dies at the fucking end.
It says happily ever after.
Yeah. No, it's exactly what happened. So the thing is, no Disney movies are not married to comedians because I'm on the fucking road. You know,
Beauty and the Beast. What are you talking about?
And she was supposed to come to China with me. Yeah, that's true. She was supposed to come to China with me, and I told her, like, so she couldn't. She had a new job. She couldn't go to China. I'm like, listen, September is going to be really hard. I'm gone for 3 out of the 4 weeks. Oh, don't worry, no problem. You know, blah blah. And then like a week into it, when are you coming home? Like, I didn't sign up for this shit. Like I'm fucking taking care of your fucking pets right now, and they're shitting everywhere, and Miles pees, and I'm like, holy! I told you it was going to be hard. And all of a sudden, she's like, we're supposed to be making memories right now. I'm like, yeah, here's a memory, me paying the fucking rent last month. You know, like fuck. So I mean, this it's been hard. It's been hard as far as like I'm trying to like get more gigs in town,
right?
But also like, my wife doesn't realize that, like, just because I do the road doesn't mean, like, my job is over when I get back into town.
Right.
And in fact, it's actually more important in town because that's where you can get discovered at the Laugh Factory.
But you don't make money doing it in town, and that therefore it's not a job.
That's the thing, is that, like, okay.
Yeah,
that's
what spare time.
Wife used to always say about the fighting stuff. She's like, you don't really make any money doing it, so it's your hobby. I'm like, yeah, yes, it's my hobby, yes. But it is also something that is there is some money there, and it's the future, because if you get enough people into the bigger shows, then you know, you never know if you've got the next Conor McGregor that you're going to be making $7 million on his commission on his fight or whatever. I'm like, so you never know, and it's like, it's a hobby.
It's so that's the thing. That's the whole. It's so hard because. Hey, by the way, make sure that the car's not falling. The thing it's going right. No, on. Okay, is that women don't sometimes, or people don't realize that, like, potential. They don't see the potential. They just see what's coming in.
Right.
You know.
Still got 9 hours on the thing. It says.
Oh, good. And also a lot of times like. Sometimes people don't realize just because you're having fun doing something doesn't mean it's not a job. Because
tell me about it.
Yes.
Tell me about it. My wife's the same way. She's like, you just assume just because I like going to the gym that like I'm just going and having a good time. Like, yeah, I'm having a good time, but I still have to fucking work for it.
Right.
And what about, and that's the thing with comedy. She thinks because I'm going at the comedy club and I'm laughing and having fun and telling jokes and people are, that it's like, oh, this is just fun time. Right. Yeah, but what about all the fucking countless hours that I had to do to get to this point.
Right. Well, and the writing, like, and what about the shitty gigs?
And that standing the on the fucking street corners and
here to China.
And the days you just get your fucking ass beat and you're fucking tired. You don't want to go in the first fucking place.
Sleeping in my fucking car on the side of the fucking road. Getting to Albuquerque at a fucking truck stop. The worrying I'm going to get fucking raped. You know, like, what about fucking.
Watch out for them lot lizards.
I mean, that's what we're kind of dealing with right now, where it's getting better, and I have to give her. I don't have to have. We have to have date night one night a week. That's
what I was gonna say.
That's smart
like,
though.
In the beginning, it's gonna be like that, and she'll start to get used to it, and then see, and then as you progress and advance, and she'll start to see. But like on the days where you don't have to, it has to be you have to make it about her.
And date night can't start. I realized at 9:30 because I was like, oh, I got home last night from a gig. Let's have date night. I'm fucking ready to go to bed. I'm like, where were you at 8? But why? Because I'm a fucking adult. I don't have to go to fucking sleep at 10 o'clock. Why I have to work in the morning?
I did, and I shouldn't probably even say this, but with one of my exes, I actually took her out a lot. Like, not right at first. Like, we went here and there, whatever. But then, like, when we, like, started getting serious, I took her out a lot to the point where she got fucking sick of going out.
And then she's like, can you just go fight or something?
I trained her to just want to stay home and fucking chill most of the time.
Right. Really? Yeah. My friend Derek told me, he's like, listen, here's what you want to do. Don't do anything for your wife ever. That way, when you finally do something, it'll be a huge deal.
I've done that too, but that can backfire.
Date night at the dime bar. Comedy show.
Also,
I got free tickets.
But I think also when I'm not there, like, both of us have, like, it just becomes a lot worse. Mm. You're never going to be home. And, you know, it's very, and then, like, and then she thought I was, she found, I was in Montana, right?
Right.
And there was they gave me, like, a note when I got to the hotel. The hotel was so old school that it had an actual key. That's right. How fucking, not even a hotel key. And it said, enjoy your northern stay, smiley face. They left a note saying, so I don't know, that paper saying got somehow in one of my pockets. And she goes, who the fuck is enjoy your northern stay, smiley face? I'm like, I don't know, the Best Western fucking, like, who's this? It's not a girl? I'm like, no, it's a fucking hotel. I don't know. Maybe the maid fucking wrote that, or like. So it's just. I'm like, come on. Like, it's just. I'm not cheating on you. I'm not cheating on you. But then I forgot. Like, because I was in in South Carolina, and the guy was like, hey, you know, you're really funny. Let's give you a date for next year. And you know, as a comic, when you get a date before you actually leave the club, it means you did a good job.
Right.
Because normally, no matter how fucking good you were, you still if you're at
call me
a level, it's you still have to call them and then, hey, call me back next week or next Friday, or they're dealing with fucking getting Rob Schneider or whoever the fuck. And then slowly, no matter how funny you were, they forget how funny you were until you're there again. They've even told me, bookers were like, oh, I forgot how fucking funny you were. I'm like, but so you get a date before that. So the date they gave me was our 1 year anniversary, which I forgot. I didn't realize it was going to be the 1 year, because it was like, they gave you like, okay.
Oh, so you're the asshole this time.
June 20th. So she's like, well, what are we doing on our anniversary? So I'm like, I don't know. I didn't think we'd make it that far. Ha ha. And she just she's like, you better cancel this fucking one. Now I got to go cancel the fucking South Carolina.
You're like, I booked this in beautiful South Carolina.
That's what I said. I go, come with me to Hilton, to Myrtle Beach. Well, how old? And then I get
exploited. There's lots of good stuff out there you can take her to.
Right. I know, but they put me up at a comedy condo there. So then away I got to upgrade to a hotel. So then that's going to be at least $1,000 for the fucking week in Myrtle Beach.
You know what though, at least
if you're working there, then it cancels each other out. So anyway, I am learning how to be a better husband, and I have to be more present. Like, already, I'm like, when we hang out, the phone's not there. I have to put the phone away. But then also, like, fights. She doesn't realize that watching fighting is part of my job.
Right.
But because I enjoy it, like, that, it's like, you have to do shit that you don't enjoy for her to consider it work.
Right. Well, the good thing is, the funny thing is for me is, like, my wife enjoys the fights, but she fucking hates comedy. She doesn't like comedians. She doesn't think anybody's funny. She's worse than me as far as to not think anybody's funny. She doesn't think anybody's funny. So she never goes. You know, maybe when we first started, she went a little bit, but now it's like it doesn't matter who it is. They'd be like, hey, I'm working with Chris Rock and, you know, George Carlin, whoever, anybody. It'd be like tomorrow. She'd be like, oh, okay, have fun. Like, you don't want to go? Do your thing. Yeah. Like, she doesn't give two shits about comedy, especially after. But see, the other thing is, she and I got together before I started doing comedy. So she there was a learning curve through all this.
Oh, that's got to be even harder.
But the thing is, she's over the time, and this is what it comes down to.
It's your fault she hates it.
Yeah, exactly. Remember how me do it? She's like, do they all suck as bad as you?
When I was getting big?
Yeah.
When I was growing?
Oh, it's like, yeah, if they're all as bad as you, then I don't want to go see comedy.
My wife, it's hard, because my wife, we were in bed the other day, she's like, tell me a story. And I'm like, okay. Once there was this comic who did the road who had a wife. All right, shut up. You know, like right away.
Story.
That's the end of that story.
But there are three little comics. This gig's not doesn't pay enough. This gig pays too much, but there's whores in there. This gig is just right.
Yeah. But my wife, like, she likes my comedy, but she loves kid jokes. Like, she likes clean comedy.
Right.
So like some like I know it. Like, so sometimes I'll be like,
well, you're the perfect comic for her.
Oh yeah. God. Well, the other night I was like, what kind of
drugged her good?
I was like, what kind of cat says who? And she's like, what? I'm like, a meow. Like that. Like she laughed at that. Like that. Oh, that's what she'll laugh at. Like, but then she won't laugh at like fucking some political joke.
Well, what you're gonna see in like 3 years? Adam's gonna be on stage like a pink polo shirt with like a sweater vest, going, "What kind of cat?" It's gonna be his new thing. Like, what happened to Adam? I'm married, dude.
All muted and Sheila's hair combed over.
Yeah, fucking hand puppets.
Dude, seriously, like, oh my god,
Adam Dunham.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Adam Dunham. but it is going well. I'm just learning shit. Like, you know, we are fighting something a little bit, but again, that's normal, right?
Yeah.
First couple months of marriage. Is that how your marriage was?
Yeah.
No, they fight worse than anybody.
Yeah. Really?
It's funny though. Like, we're like,
you guys are good fighters.
We fight like to see who could piss each other off the most. And then like we just chalk it up. Okay, she won today, or I won today. And then
that's pretty healthy fighting. Yeah.
That should be funny, like to have like your MMA record and then fights with your win.
Yeah. His real record, his real
my
fight record.
My record is definitely better than my fighting record against my wife. She's like 85% win percentage on her side.
Yeah, you can't win. That's what I realized. Also, some of them, like, people are giving me marriage advice. Right. They're like, listen. It doesn't matter anymore if you're happy. It's all about whether she's happy.
You know, though, I disagree, even if you win, you still lose. I disagree with all that, though, because with me and my wife, people always like, who stay with, like, my sister will come and stay. She says, damn, you guys argue and fight a lot. And we're like, we do? But we talk. We've been doing it so long that we kind of have this little thing where we have decided we don't let each other off or out of the room until it's resolved, period. There's none of this, like, well, fuck it. You do your thing and I do my thing, and then it's going to come up again in 6 months.
Yeah.
It's like, no. You agreed that this was bullshit and that if I did this, that you would admit that. Yes, I did. And you agreed that if you did this, but whatever. So we kind of rehash those things now. If it pops up, I'm like, you're doing that thing again. It should be like, only because you're doing that thing again. Oh, no, I'm only doing that. And then it's like, boom, 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 boom. But then by the time we're done, it's like, all right, you're right. I did that thing, and sorry about that, but you did that thing. Okay, cool. Good. We're good.
Oh, you're lucky, because my wife keeps a fucking record. Like,
that fucking tip for tash shit.
Last year, I missed her birthday because I had a show at the improv on my birthday, and I was on crutches because I just had ACL surgery 4 days before, and she wanted me to leave. I was headlining. She wanted me to leave everybody and then go to a party. Go to a party with her friends. I'm like, no, everyone came to see me. I'm on fucking crutches. Not to mention, two porn stars after my show were like, "How big is your dick?" And like, which never fucking happens. Like, we think you have a big dick.
Cast that too.
They're like, we think you have a big dick. I'm like, can you show us? I'm like, no, I have a, but never. Of course, when you get married, women are come up to you and go, "How big is your dick?" You know, but so all this fucking stuff happens, but she keeps bringing it up, and you miss my birthday. Like, that's always some like a go to. I fucking wish I was able to get that off the record.
You have to, though, because otherwise it's just going to keep coming up over and over.
It's a no forgive, no forget kind of situation.
No, but the thing that was hard, it's hard, though, because a lot of women, and this is bad with the comedy thing, is that they're insecure. And so anything is, you're doing this, you're doing that, you said this, you meant that. So if you don't...
They talk to themselves too much.
And you need to say, what did you mean by this? Here's what I meant by this, you know, and that was the first rule that I said with my wife. So I was like, look, for the most part, guys, not always, but mostly guys, say exactly what the fuck they mean. I mean, that doesn't sound like a bad 80s comedy premise. And women usually say stuff and they want it interpreted. You know what I mean? Like if a guy says, hey, where'd you get those pants? He means, at which store did you acquire those fucking jeans? When a woman says, where do you get those pants? She either means they look good on you or fuck your fat. So when you say to a woman, where'd you get those pants? Her response is, go fuck yourself.
No, this is true.
And when
my
wife
guy
says, go to a Target, woman's like, so go fuck yourself.
My wife's like, my wife says to me, she's like, you're so bad at picking up clues. I'm like, yeah, because you're not just fucking, I'm not trying to play Clue right now.
I'm not fucking Sherlock Holmes.
It's not Pictionary. Just fucking tell me
exactly
see what you. Yeah, no, it's 1,000%. I'm learning this though. Also, I'm the first guy she's ever lived with. Right. But we tried playing. We went on the vacation and we tried playing Truth.
Including her dad, which is another problem. She's never had a dad.
That's true.
Is it really?
Yeah. but we and I never had a my biological mom was I never she lives in Canada and her dad lives in Canada. But we went on a vacation at Temecula. And we're like,
it's a romantic.
And I'm like, hey,
they're really brother and sister.
So I was like,
Netflix
hey, let's
original.
Let's play Truth or Dare, right? Which was like, or she wanted to play it. So of course it was like, that's how many girls have you slept with? And yeah, I was like, less than 500. So then that was
less than 500.
And then I was like, have you ever done anal? And then the fucking game
She's
was
like less than 500.
Yeah, then the game. Yeah, the game was over. And that was like the first question and the last question was like, how many girls and have you done anal? And then that was the end of the fucking game. That was the end of the fucking game. Anyway, so speaking of jiu-jitsu, the Abu Dhabi's this weekend. So this is a lot of great fights this weekend. We'll talk about Abu Dhabi, which I didn't.
Wait, is that going to be streamed or something? Is that going to be like?
It's on like Flow Combat, I think. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So it's I don't know a lot of these guys. So tell me, Andre Galvao.
Yeah.
He's going up against Claudio Calasins. Have you heard of him?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who Claudio is. No.
Chael Sonnen is taking on Leo Vieira.
Which is hilarious because that's like five weight classes difference, but Leo's gonna smoke him.
Chael's bigger than Leo?
Yeah, Leo's like smaller than me.
But Leo's gonna beat him, you think?
Oh yeah. Leo Vieira's ridiculous.
Is he ridiculous? Henzo Gracie is taking on Sané Kakuta. You know Sané Kakuta? Henzo guillotine Kakuta 19 years ago in an MMA match.
Then
in 66 kilograms, which is, how much is that?
146 pounds.
145 pounds. Here are the people that are in it. Rubens, Charles, Justin Rader, Paulo Miajo, Augusto Mendez, AJ Argazam, Barrett Yoshida, and Gio Martinez. Who is that?
Those are all dope. So Gio's
fucking good.
Gio's ridiculous. He's a 10th Planet guy, right?
Yeah.
He's really good, but he's got holes in his game, but the stuff he's good at, he's really fucking good at. Rubens Charles is Cobrinha, who is maybe one of the best ever. Mendez, Rafa Mendez, ridiculous. And there's the Mendez brothers and what are they called? Meow brothers?
Joel Meow.
Those guys are legit. And then there was somebody else in there.
Barrett Yoshida.
Barrett Yoshida's always a beast.
This guy who puts it on the underground, his name is Da Crippler. He has Cabrinha to win it.
Probably he won it last night.
Favorite.
He's been training like crazy. He's been going down to Black House, and then we've had one of our guys, Vince, different Vince, who's going and training up at Cabrinha's, and he's like 38 now, but he's a monster.
So 77 kilograms. What's that? 160.
77 is what almost one.
It's like 180.
170.
It's 170. So Mashner Kara, Wagner Rocha, Gary Tonin, Lucas Lepre, JT Torres, DJ Jackson, and Enrico Coco. Coco? This guy has DJ Jackson to win it.
DJ Jackson is good. JT or Gary Tonin?
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
JT's pretty good. But Gary Tonin's ankle locks?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, dude.
And then 88 kilograms, Murillo Santana, John Salter, Ramolo Barra, Keenan Cornelius, Gordon Ryan, Pablo Pochovic, Alexander Zande Ribeiro, Leandro Lowe, Dylan Dennis, Rustam Chisiev.
Jean-G Ribeiro is going to win. Either be Jean-G or maybe Keenan.
Keenan's good.
But the funny thing is that Jean-G hadn't competed in years, and he did the... he has more wins than anybody in history. And Jean-Gi went against... He went and did the Worlds last year because he wanted to go against Keenan. And then Keenan ended up losing in the first round. And then Jean-Gi won the whole thing.
Who's Jean-Gi? Alexander
Ribeiro? Jean-Gi Ribeiro, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Yeah.
And then 99 kilograms. Yuri Samos, Rafael Lovato Jr., Felipe Pena, Jao Assis, Jake Shields, Jeff Monson.
Jao Assis. Jeff Monson?
Yeah.
What the hell? He's still competing?
Yeah. And Jake Shields. And Jake Shields.
Oh, wow. Wait, Jake Shields is competing at 99?
Yeah.
Almost heavyweight.
That's like 210 pounds or something. 220 pounds.
Super heavy.
So who do you think? Who is this?
He's a 70, right?
So this guy has Felipe Pena to win it.
I don't know who that is, but
Rafael Lovato is good though too.
Oh yeah,
Rafael strong.
Is he in the UFC? That guy?
Yeah, he's in Bellator.
He's in Bellator. And then 99 kilograms, Vinny Magalish, Roberto Cyborg, Abreu, Marcos, Bubuchecha, Almeida, Bruno Bastos.
Bouchecha.
Bouchecha?
Yeah.
Over, that's who he has. Over Vinny?
Yeah.
And then 60 kilograms, girls, Mackenzie Dern, Michelle Nicolini, Beatriz Mesquita.
That's going to be Mackenzie Dern.
And then 60 kilograms.
Oh, Michelle Nicolini is pretty damn good, too.
And then Gabby Garcia is in her own weight class. Like, it's just her masturbating.
I got her.
Yeah, exactly.
She's going to win.
So have you seen her? That's ridiculous.
So that's the Abu Dhabi this week. It seems like fun to watch, right?
I love Abu Dhabi. Yeah, I think they put on a really good show. I have, like, the two or three of the full seasons. Like every match on DVD from back when.
Now, how long are these matches?
I think it's. I'm not sure. The first ones are 10, and then I think it goes eventually to 20. But they also do an overtime. So it's if it still is the same Abu Dhabi rules, first 7 minutes are no points. So it's submission only in the first 7 minutes, and then at 7 minutes they start points. So they might even be like 11 or 12 minute matches, and then there's an overtime. Like a 5 minute overtime if no points are scored.
Now back in the day, Mark Kerr won, and he just basically went in and just pinned everybody,
right.
And then got the win. Can guys do that anymore or no?
No, that's why I think that's probably why they changed the rules.
Yeah, the rules have been adjusted.
Yeah.
So wrestlers can't just kind of go in there and just do that.
Yeah, but I think you could still win on points. I mean, you could still win it, get a takedown.
They still can, but it's a lot harder.
Yeah, because guys are just going and take a guy down, let him up, take him down, let him up, and then you have 10 points.
Well, also jiu-jitsu guys are learning to wrestle, and they're learning a lot more counter wrestling.
Now, do you get points for takedowns in Abu Dhabi?
Yeah.
Good, because I can't, like, as much as I like the EBI, this whole starting in the butt scoop position, and then it becomes a leg lock competition.
They start standing. It's only if you go into the overtime where they have you start.
No, but there are a lot of guys that start on their butt, though.
Yeah, start on their butt.
Yeah.
But I think in a fight, I don't know, I just feel like takedowns should be rewarded.
Right.
I mean, am I wrong for saying this?
The EBI is a submission only anyhow, so regardless. Yeah.
That's why people do that, because
it's
submission only.
So even if you do start standing, take a guy down, you still got to submit him.
Well, a lot of people jump for submissions off takedowns, too, so it's not like, you know what I mean?
See, I like EBI. I also like Abu Dhabi. There's another one. What was the other?
Metamoris, which is gone,
but Metamoris had some good stuff. I think that people think that always, submission only is more exciting. I disagree. Yeah, I think sometimes it's more exciting.
Yeah.
But it's like, just because it's submission only doesn't mean guys are going to be risky and go for submissions. And just because it's points, a point tournament doesn't mean guys are not going for submissions. That's ridiculous.
It depends
on the guy.
Have you competed in tournaments?
Yeah, yeah.
What tournaments? Have you won any big ones?
No, not any major ones. I mean, I've won like NABJJF and won, I've won an IBJJF tournament.
Did you get a trophy?
Yeah, or a medal.
Was your wife excited when you got it or no?
No. I remember what, years ago.
You're in a comic now?
This is how much my wife thinks I'm a pussy. 2007, I did Grappler's Quest, which used to be the big one, right? Grappler's Quest was kind of like, they had all the...
That was the first tournament I did, was Grappler's Quest.
And it was great. They did no-gi and gi. And I remember, so I get in this tournament, and I had to cut to 149, which was, you know, which is a lot for me. And I was like, make to 149. I get there, you know, and you get to weigh in the day before. And it's a huge, like, two-day tournament. And it was all no-gi back then. And there were wrestlers and all kinds of different people. It was a huge tournament in Vegas. So I get out there, and my bracket is, like, it's me, Hanato Tavares, who's a famous black belt, Scott Epstein, who's a...
Einstein.
Justin Rader, who's ridiculous wrestler, and he was a purple belt at the time. Now he's a black belt. Under Rafael Lovato, and Uriah Faber, a guy named Michael Cusey, who is a very underrated, really good jiu-jitsu guy. I can't remember who the other dude was. And my first match, I go out against Michael Cusey, and I mid-sweep, and my floating rib popped.
Oh my god.
And I just like went, yelled, and I let go, and he passed the side control, and I'm laying there, and I just reached down, and I pushed it back in. And it went pop and pop back in. You know when your rib pops out and it's like sitting on the other ribs, how much it hurts. Like you can't breathe. You're like,
I've never actually had that happen. I've never popped the rib out.
Fucking worst pain. So I put it back in and it goes like, and as soon as it pops back in, it's like instant relief.
Yeah.
So I hadn't had it happen to that extreme. So I thought, oh, okay. Oh, good. All right. It's back. That was weird. So we go to move. So now he's in side control. I go to move and I hit the sweep. I hit the like another sweep and a reversal. Like I'm taking him over the top. And I'm mid-air, and it pops out again. And I'm like, God, I jump up, and I jump off the mat. I stand up, and I pop it back in. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I put it back in. And I go over, and I touch his hand. I go, I'm going to take out. And the ref goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm good. He goes, get the fuck off the mat. I go, what do you mean? He goes, you can't jump up and scream and put your rib back into place and then continue to go twice. No.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And then I end up, so I remember afterward, it went down to the finals were, I think, either Michael Cusi or Renato Tavares and Uriah. And Uriah won it. And I was like, man, I was technically kind of beating that kid. I think I was better than Cusi at the time. Like I felt him, you know, I had swept him and I felt him like, oh, I could beat this guy. And he took second or third, and I was like, damn, I could have beat him. My wife's like, did you really get injured?
Oh God, really?
Did your
wife thought you were faking it?
Totally thought I was faking it. I'm like,
sandbag.
Until later on that day, I sat in my car and the rib popped out. And I like jumped out of my car screaming and like, oh, fuck, trying to put the rib back in. I was like, oh, I guess you're not a complete pussy
after all. You're doing a good job selling it.
we're not buying it.
Well, listen, people, if you're injured at all, go to LA Speedweed, because LA Speedweed actually has this roll-on CBD oil that I have been using that has been – I have a bad back. Last week in Iowa, I was like on stage and I'm like, oh, like my back just, I don't know what, my lower back, and I've been using this roll on and I feel so much better. So when you find yourself in need, trust in speedweed.com for overnight delivery to over 1,088 cities across California. You can find everything with one stop: flower, edibles, concentrate, topicals, vapes, and more. Sign up and use the code ROASTED for $10 off any orders over $100 at speedweed.com. So you get $10 off anything over $100. I'm telling you, I've been using this cannabis oil and my back feels so much better.
I've actually used that stuff and it does help. I was actually using it while I was getting my back tatted like last week.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. Like my wrist was fucking killing me.
What did you get a tattoo of?
I just finished my back.
Cannabis oil.
And then, little container. The roll-on. Yeah. No, but I was like sitting there and my wrist was hurting from training and he was like, oh, I got this fucking shit. I'm like, get out of your witchcraft. He's like, no, it's like CBD stuff. I was like, oh, really? I was like, oh, let me try it then. I tried it and it was like, I was like, oh, that's pretty tight. Like, it was weird. It was almost like, not like an icy hot feeling, but
yeah, kind of. It's a little bit of that.
It was weird.
Well, I think it does have like camphor and menthol and stuff in it as well. Usually, like, to, because that opens up to deliver the.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Also, I'm excited about fantasy football, people. The wait is over, which means FanDuel's back. Fantasy football for everyday fans. New contest starting every week. No busted seasons. A lot of times you have a season and all of a sudden you're done because you know third week in and your team sucks. No, not with this, guys. You got something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score real time. I play FanDuel. I've been winning every week. It feels so good. It makes watching football so much more fun. And you get over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy football on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button and use my code, MMA Roasted. And listen, people, new users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com, sign up with promo code MMA Roasted. That's FanDuel.com, promo code MMA Roasted, void where prohibited.
I suck at fantasy football because this year I had Colin Kaepernick on my team.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's not a good thing.
It wasn't a good pick.
That's a bad choice.
Yeah. This is Justice Warrior. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about your fight coming up, because I've been watching Tuesday night's Contender Series, and one guy stood out. This guy, Mike O'Malley.
Sean O'Malley.
Yeah. He looks like the one of Scooby-Doo's friends or something. He's like this tall, skinny, hippie-looking dude. I mean, he looked like Screech, like vintage Screech back in the day. But the dude hits fucking hard. He's undefeated.
Oh, it's that weird-looking dude, huh?
He's 9-0. 8-0, and he beat Coach Edmonds kid, who actually there were people in LA were talking about how good that kid was.
Yeah, he is good, Alfred.
You've been hearing a lot about Alfred's gonna beat this guy, and O'Malley has surprising power.
He was gonna beat him in that fight, wasn't he? Until O'Malley caught him, and then he kind of
shut down after that. It was weird. Right.
So this is the guy you're fighting.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this.
I'm excited, man. You know, the guys, he likes to strike, and I like to strike as well, too, so I think it's going to be an exciting matchup. And, you know, the kid has a lot of hype behind him, so the fight's being hyped up, you know, the minute that it was announced and it was put everywhere. It's been put everywhere. I got a lot of, you know, journalists and people hitting me up asking me about interviews and stuff like that for it, so I'm excited about, you know, for the exposure and anything. But I'm more concentrated on the fight and, I'm not one of the guys who talk shit or anything like that, but there's a lot of hype behind him, and I'm going to derail it.
Yeah, no, I think as far as striking goes, it seems like you're a more conventional striker, and you have better technique, more sound technique, I'll say. He's kind of a wild striker. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you prepare for a guy like that?
I've been doing karate since I was 5. I've had over 200 karate competitions. I'm used to guys throwing spin kicks and all that stuff, the things that he does. So I see it well. I know how to block it well. It's not going to be anything new to me. You know, I mean, obviously anybody can get caught with anything, but it's something that I've seen before. I have training partners that, you know, that have black belts in Taekwondo and stuff like that. And I can go to other, you know, gyms and train with guys who kind of have that weird style where they're tall, long, and lanky and do that and be able to get looks, you know, for that. So, I mean, I'm not at all concerned about it any more than I am any other fighting, you know, a traditional boxer or kickboxer or anything like that. So
now, by the way, I'm here with Tarion Ware. Is there going to be any trash talk between you and O'Malley?
I won't say anything out of what I'm saying right now in terms of I plan on beating him. I'm going for a finish, you know. But if he says something, I'm going to respond back.
Vince, anything? Who do you think's going to win this fight? Yeah,
boy.
Of course.
I'm going with Sean O'Malley.
The coach is a traitor. I find like a betting ticket in his pocket.
No,
you can't win.
That's definitely going to be a good fight, though, because that kid's really good. Yeah. I've seen you fight a couple. You've actually fought one of my boys.
Who?
Herman Baltazar.
Oh, yeah. I like that kid. Does he fight anymore?
He just does kickboxing now. He's traveling around doing kickboxing, doing like tournaments. I think he's going to, where is he going? I think Columbia, I think, in November to do a tournament.
Yeah, he could have been really good.
Yeah.
Badass kickboxing. Now, as far as that fight, but your fight with O'Malley, it just seems like straight punches are always going to beat loopy punches. And his hands are down. It looks like he is 9-0 for a reason.
He throws straight punches. He's really precise.
No, Terry throws straight punches.
Oh, no, but I was saying that even O'Malley, throws straight punches.
Yeah,
he throws straight punches, but he keeps his hands down and he throws weird.
It's awkward.
It's awkward, but he throws one punch. He likes to do a lot of spin kicks, but when he throws his rights and lefts, like he throws them straight down the middle and he's long with them, but he doesn't really set them up. He just kind of throws them. He's precise with them, and I think the precision and his length is what makes his power. But it's not set up, and it's not like he doesn't have great footwork. He doesn't have great combos that we've seen. It's like, you know, so Alfred was beating him up until he got hit, and then it was kind of like, then he just kind of stood in front of him, and if you stand directly in front of this kid, he's gonna hit you.
Yeah, he definitely seems like the type of guy that technique will eventually take him out. He's like one of those guys. Like,
but people were saying that about Conor McGregor though, and technique hasn't taken him out since. I mean, just to play devil's advocate.
He's not a wild guy, though. He's not the same type. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually a very calculated fighter and striker when he strikes. He's not.
Yeah. He doesn't expend a lot of energy with stupid stuff.
Yeah. He's also a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and he's pretty damn strong.
But he's even done striking better. Like the same thing with you watch. Like the way I chalk up this fight is you watch the first Nate Diaz fight when Conor fought him, where Conor's doing all this stuff and he's throwing hard shots, and you know Nate's able to sustain it and he's pushing it forward, and then eventually gassed him out. This kid, he throws a lot of strikes like that where he's throwing all those. It takes a lot of energy to do that, and if I feel like when guys fight him, like watching some of his fights, they kind of like back off and like let him off the hook because they're worried about being hit, as opposed to if I'm constantly going forward and I'm minding my P's and Q's on defense. And for every one strike that he throws, I'm throwing three, and I'm being precise with it, and I'm not worried about getting caught. He's going to start to get tired out, and those spin kicks start coming slow, and those spinning back fists start coming slow. And then he's going to be forced to fight me in a traditional boxing fight, and he's not going to win that matchup.
You've also had what's your record?
I'm 17-6.
So, and he's 9-0, so you've had three times as many fights as the guy. I'm excited for it.
We don't know what his ground game's like either. Like, I don't think it's that great. I mean, not that I'm saying that we're necessarily going to go there. Tarion's obviously a striker, but people always think because Tarion strikes so much, people think Tarion doesn't have a ground game. But that would be a bad mistake. He does have a good ground game, but you know. So we'll see. We can go anywhere we want with the fight. That's the thing we like about it.
Are you bringing in anybody to emulate him?
Not necessarily. Like, I mean, I have guys that I already train with that I think would be good looks for me. Like, my longtime trainer, I've been training with a long time, Dmitry Grosimov. He's a taekwondo backbone. He has good spin kicks and stuff like that. There's also this kid who I work with who's fighting the local scene. He's going to be a future killer at 155, Jalen Turner. Tall, long kid. I mean, just incredible striker in terms of hands, feet, everything like that. So that'll be a good look for me. I can work with him. And then outside of that, I could go to Black House and stuff like that and train with people.
I can't wait for this fight. This is like, I'm actually more excited for this fight than I am, I'd say, 99% of the fights out there.
That's what I'm hoping for, man. I'm hoping it continues to get...
And then, and what card is it on?
It's on the Tough finale, the Tough 26 finale.
Who else is on the card?
It's December 1st. It's in Vegas.
Vegas. I'll try to get on that card too.
But it's weird because I looked it up and I thought like the coaches would be fighting at the end of the night on that, which is... Gaethje and
Alvarez.
No, at the finale, it's usually the guys. The coaches will fight later on.
Right.
So far, it's Brett Johns versus Joe Soto on that card.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good fight. Brett Johns, undefeated kid from, I think he's from Wales. Tough kid. You, Tarion Ware versus Sean O'Malley, who's 6-0. I bet he was 9-0. He's 6-0.
He's actually 8-0, 6 knockouts.
They might be using the wrong.
George Mearshart, I like him, against Eric Spicely. That should be a good fight. Andrew Sanchez versus Ryan James. That's the card so far. And it's December 1st.
And then, of course, all the girls that are on the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now let's talk about tomorrow's...
Fighting for the title.
Now, of course. Which, by the way, are you watching Ultimate Fighter?
I always watch it, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched this. Don't tell me about the Lauren Murphy one. I haven't watched that one yet. I'm about to do it. But it's been so far pretty good.
Yeah, I like...
I mean, they've all been first-round finishes. That's the only issue I have with the Ultimate Fighter this year is when you... just allow people to not fight their way on the show, you get mismatches.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're getting so far, the first 3 weeks, we've been 3 first-round finishes. And that's because, I think maybe Roxanne was the second round, but they should be have to fight their way on the show.
Right.
Yeah, to at least see the talent. I mean,
yeah, they didn't have to fight to get on.
No.
If they're going off of just, you know, them rolling and them hitting pads, I mean, that's not a good indicator.
But the other thing is, I think that, you know, Bellator's got 125s, so there's some good girls there that are locked in, like Alima Leigh McFarlane and stuff like that. But I don't think the talent pool is very deep. When you have girls that are 2-2 on there, that could be possibly fighting for a title. But to me, I don't have any spoilers. She's my friend, but I know nothing about anything on the show. I haven't even tried to ask, and not that anyone would ever tell me. But when I saw the lineup, the first thing I thought was, who the hell is going to beat Barb Honchak? I don't know if you guys know Barb Honchak, but that girl is a monster. And I'm like, who the hell is going to beat her? Like, I mean, she's a little older. I think she's like 30-something, 36, 36. But it's like, she is freaking phenomenal. Like, and I'm looking at the girls on that thing going, I don't know, maybe somebody beat her. I don't know, but I don't see anybody that's going to beat her on that show. That girl's phenomenal.
So tomorrow night, because tonight's the UFC, but by the time people listen to this, that fight will be over, and as well as the LFA. Tomorrow night, in case you want to listen to the podcast tomorrow morning, Ben Henderson versus Pitbull. In Bellator, should be a good fight. Look, Ben Henderson has not looked good in Bellator so far. No. He's not won in Bellator except for that one fight against Pitbull.
Pitbull broke his leg.
Yeah, was this the same Pitbull that broke his leg?
Yeah.
which Pitbull like is it? It's like 75.
Yeah, there really is. It's like the fucking Baldwin brothers. I don't know. Like, it's serious. So this is the same guy that this guy was winning the fight before he broke his leg. I was there.
Yeah.
Ben, come on, man. Get that toothpick back in there.
He's got to find that thing back in there. That's his fucking power animal.
That's his magic. I mean,
he looked good against... he looked good in that one fight against the kid that you train with from AKA, the former champion we were just talking
Chandler?
About. Yeah, Chandler. He looked good, but he got beat up. But he looked good, though. But he got beat up.
I don't think he looked that good in that fight.
Chandler like a beast,
yeah,
man.
Chandler beasted that dude in that fight.
I'm picking Pitbull in this fight. You?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Pitbull's another one of these guys that I don't always feel like I'm that impressed with before. I always go, yeah. And then he beats guys that I don't think he should beat. I'm sure he's going to – I don't see how he's not going to beat him.
Well, he's like part of the brothers, right? When they came out, they were just like fucking tearing through people, right?
Those yeah.
Two? Yeah.
But it's going to catch up with him because you can't get – like it seems like almost every fight he gets knocked out three times in the fight and still wins.
Who, Pitbull?
Yeah, one of them. One of the brothers, if not both of them. So one of these days he's not going to get up from one of those.
Yeah.
Near knockouts.
Tarion?
I'm going to go with Henderson just because, like you're saying, like all the wars Pitbull's had, and then he's coming off that bad leg break too, so who knows how he's been training.
Think about Ben that, like – you know, I think finding Jesus is a good thing for some people. Obviously, not for the atheist in my company. But it does seem like some athletes who find Jesus, they lose and they just start smiling and you're like, well, it wasn't God's plan or something. And it's just sort of like they lose their competitive.
That's what I feel happened to Fedor. He got married and became. Remember, then he had. He used to have his guy with him.
Yeah.
He used to have his guy run with him. Do you ever see that? Those old Fedor documentaries. He'd have his like Orthodox Christian pastor guy. Like they look like Jewish. The Orthodox Christians look like Jewish people. They have like the big beards and stuff. And he would like train with the whole team. It was hilarious. Like in the old Pride days, you'd see him running, and he would like have this like his pastor guy running with him and stuff, and ever since then he like completely fell off.
Making me run too much.
Yeah,
exactly. It does, right? But it does. Doesn't seem like some of these guys lose their competitive edge once they find Jesus, or
yeah, because the power is not with them anymore. The power is with something else. They're like, well, if it's God's will, it's good. Well, how about your will, dude? How about getting there and fucking put in some work? That's
so.
I actually have a funny story that I was gonna turn around and take a fucking picture of, but I didn't because you were texting me talking shit. But when I was driving on the freeway, I saw a sign above that said "Jesus saves from hell." And I couldn't pull my phone that fast.
Oh yeah. No, right, but I mean, I don't know. As soon as an athlete's like, I found Jesus, I bet on the other guy. I do the same thing. I don't know.
I'm not even fucking around. I do the same shit.
You're right. It's not my responsibility. It's the higher plan. But then when these guys lose, they go. They. It's not their fault. It was someone else's fault.
Right.
Or something else.
It's an excuse.
Jesus didn't want me to win.
It becomes an excuse that they have before the fight even happens. You know, it's like when it's anytime someone has is kind of prone to making excuses, and you know beforehand they're like, well, you know what, I got this, I got that going on, whatever. I'm just gonna go out there and do my best. If I lose, it's just the way it is. Anytime someone starts talking that way, you're like, okay. As soon as the pressure's on them, they're gonna fold.
So when you train someone, do you have them remove their crosses? Are you like, like they come in with a yarmulke? You're like, all right, no, this is not gonna happen. No,
leave it at the door.
One of the things that he's done and he does it well because you know like even though him being an atheist, you know, if you believe in whatever you believe in, like I don't believe in religion, but I do believe in a higher power, not necessarily what's described into the Bible, but I do believe in some type of God. And he's not gonna be like, oh, you're a fucking idiot because of it. But one of the things that he says, like kind of like the same thing you're talking about, is like you can believe in whatever you want, but ultimately believe in yourself.
Yeah,
it's you're in there. You ultimately control what you do. Don't leave it up to anybody else.
Yep.
You control with what you do and realize that and focus on that and don't chalk it up to you know anything outside of that. You know, and I always thought it was weird, even from the time when you're a kid and you see you know someone wins or someone's getting ready to have a competition or whatever, and they. I think it's kind of fucked up to ask God for a win. Like, how can you, like, why are you so much more special?
It's so funny. Like, I personally have OCD, and my senior year of wrestling, like, I started praying for every match, and I would win. And then I became obsessed with praying.
Right.
And because I thought that, like, I had to pray or I was going to lose. And it was, like, some tournaments, you have, like, 7 matches.
Yeah.
So before every match, I'm, like, in the back. And my coach...
Is he Muslim?
My coach was like, enough of this. He's like, it's not the praying, dude. But you start getting superstitious. Like, yeah. I'd have to have my lucky jacket on. I'd have to bring my lucky trophy. Yeah. Like, it was all this shit that, like... It was basically insecurity,
right.
You know, and believe that something else. Although I do say, I would never masturbate during the season because somebody said that you lose 40% of your aggression when you masturbate. That was a fucking stat that I heard.
It turns out it's the opposite.
Well, all I know is...
What if it's angry masturbating?
Well, in college, when I finally jerked off, I quit the next week.
Yeah, right, in college the first time.
So I don't know. No, I mean, not during the season. I'm not saying... No.
Who's this guy bullshitting, dude?
No, come on. I'm jerking off during this podcast. Okay, so... All right, so Paul Daly, Lorenz Larkin. Lorenz Larkin lost his first fight in Bellator. Who did he lose to?
Douglas Lima. Lima.
Douglas is a beast. But I always thought Larkin was going to win.
I did too. I picked him too.
A lot of times you think these UFC guys, even though, you know, people tell you, oh, there's not much of a difference and guys can win, and you see guys like Anthony Johnson go from WSOF to win the championship, you still in the back of your head are like, well, it's a higher level. And
I think from top to bottom it is, but I think Bellator has a couple guys in each weight class that could for sure compete anywhere.
I think Darian Caldwell is a guy that everyone's sleeping on, that I think you put him in the UFC, now he's training with Dominic Cruz. First of all, that guy is fucking taller than like Dr. J, and he fights at 135. I'm like, how? When I met him, I'm like, how the fuck do you make 135? But okay, so Larkin, Paul Daly. Paul Daly is just the guy that lets me down in big fights. And he's like, he beats up guys that he should beat, but then when he steps up, this is something, I don't know what the fuck. Mentally, he just...
Right.
What is it?
I think that's it. It's got to be a mental thing. I don't think he's like mentally weak, because he's tough as shit. But there's got to be something with, you know, almost that when you're, there's kind of a second mental weakness where you're so good, I think BJ Penn has it, where you're so good that if you don't just dominate people, that you kind of go, oh, I don't know what else to do now.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tyson Paul Daly's so used to just hitting people and them going to sleep, that when he hits you on the chin and you don't go to sleep, and then he hits you on the chin and you don't go to sleep, that it's kind of like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of, I don't think he freaks and breaks it and he's worried about the lights or anything like that, but it's kind of like, fuck, I've hit this guy with everything I could hit him with, and he's still here. I think maybe it's like he tired, because that dude hits so damn hard. But the same thing, like one of these guys that I never want to bet against, because I'm like, one punch and you're going to go to sleep. But
I mean, if you feel that way or not, like I get discouraged when I hit people and like they just take it, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, there's no fucking way. Like I know that shit. Like I felt your fucking shit jar. Like,
right.
But you have one loss on your record, right?
Yeah.
You lost one time.
Yeah, I got knocked. I got my ass kicked.
You didn't get your ass kicked. You got slammed on your head by Rustam Khabalov, who you didn't know that you were going to get knocked out that way. It wasn't that's the thing. It's like a knockout. No, not to like kiss your ass, Vince, but when a guy gets behind you and fucking suplexes you in the back, that's not what you're
you don't prepare for.
Yeah. Right? Am I right?
Yeah. I was totally unprepared for that.
No, you know what? You fought early on in your career. You fought, and I knew it was a tough fight for us. You fought a guy that ice trained, Matt Bancha, who didn't have a great, ended up not with a great record, but he was a guy that everyone in the gym thought, oh, he'll be 10-0 and then the UFC tomorrow. He's incredibly talented.
He was undefeated
talented
when I fought him, too, I think.
I think he was like 2-0.
You knock him out?
Yeah. I thought I was going to lose that fight, actually, because
he was doing really well, and something happened. You hit him with something, and he reacted the complete wrong way. And because I knew you had power, and you hit him with something. I can't remember what it was. Something happened, and I was like, okay, Matt's got a mask, a knee or something in the clinch.
It was a straight right.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, because we were...
But you finished him with a knee in the clinch.
Yeah, that's what it was.
He ended up clinching up or something, and I'm like... And then you start throwing knees, and he wasn't blocking it. I was distancing myself,
throwing punches, and then he shot in. I was just waiting for him to shoot so I could throw that knee.
But there are times, though, in fights like that where I'm like, shit.
He's really good.
Like, I'm like, how do you prepare for that? Like, I remember John Wood got knocked out by Shannon Rich. Shannon the Cannon Rich. If you want to see one of the best knockouts of all time.
Who tapped out to a cup in the back one time,
yeah,
by the way.
But
he's
known for maybe not. But you want to see here. I'll show you this knockout because it's one of the – I mean, John Wood's a tough guy, and he's a great coach, very underrated coach. He's doing a great job with all these – but here, I'll show you guys this kick he did where I remember watching this going, how the fuck is anyone going to prepare for this kick? Okay, so
hold on.
What the fuck?
Oh, your fucking YouTube sucks.
Hold on.
Oh, you don't even have the app? That's
okay,
why.
Okay, so here.
Oh!
Right?
That was like a sideways donkey kick.
So, okay.
I like his butterbean shorts. Richard, the red, white, and blue. Yeah, I
think that is 42. Ooh. But, like, how do you prepare for that? Like, I mean, who in the gym is going to do that to you where you're like, oh, I got to look out for that?
Right.
What was it? It was basically that Shawn Michaels kick that he
kicked him. Sweet chin music.
Yes, yep, right?
Sweet chin music.
I mean, even when Ellenberger versus, when Ellenberger lost to Mike Perry. And that spinning back elbow.
Louis Smolka threw one of those too against
Neil Siri.
Yeah. But it's like those to me got to be the hardest things to do because it's one of those things where you're like, even when like Mitch Clark hit that against Ally Aquinta, he hit that crazy submission from the ground.
Dars.
It was like a weird, but it was a weird angle Dars, right? That's got to be hard as a fighter or a trainer, right? When you see something that you
just like, I've never seen it every day. Where's it going to come from?
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be
unless it's like their move. But yeah, I mean, but that's I think that's when people say he just got caught. Like sometimes,
you just get caught.
And
honestly, that's honestly like a big part of our world. Like as any kind of martial artist, like there's guys that are going to be so good at certain things that you just can't stop it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And I've experienced that a couple times, like with jiu-jitsu and that fight that I lost. Like, there's certain times that I felt that where you do a certain, like, kickbox against a certain guy or grab against a certain guy, and it's just, you're like, what the fuck, dude? Like,
so maybe the trick is to find that one move that no one has done yet.
That one move that you're good at that no one else can stop and get it first. Shit. Yeah.
I remember when my first week of coaching middle school wrestling, this is like 12 years ago, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to teach them Japanese wizards because no one's going to expect that. And then, like, but I'm like, okay, after like 10 minutes, I'm like, this is not going to work.
I'm not getting this.
I'm like, I got to teach them the basics.
I think at least, though, you should have a go-to move or two that is your thing that even if they prepare for it, your chances are still likely.
I feel like everyone has at least one or two
What's
moves
yours?
Like that. I don't know, punching people.
But yeah.
Actually, it's probably like a drag out, like front headlocks. Like when I first started fighting, I caught a lot of front headlocks, standing or on the ground, like guillotines and like possible anacondas, darts and stuff. So Brian, my coach, taught me this drag out, and now like no one gets a hold of my neck for longer than 3 seconds.
Just to be able to reach out and just arm drag.
It's the stupidest move, and everyone knows it. But for, like, I can't be stopped when someone grabs me by the head, and I'm gonna drag out. Like, I'm doing it.
Yeah,
and I end up on their back. That's like one of my moves that I just like people can't stop.
One time I was trying to tell the kids, I'm like, guys, it's not because like you know. When you're coaching kids, they get bored, you know? And, like, you want to teach them a different crazy move every week, but that's not going to – so I go, listen, like Bruce Lee said, it's not the guy who does
like 8,000 kicks one time.
It's the guy who does, you know, one kick 8,000 times. And then one kid's like, Bruce Lee never wrestled. I'm like, all right, fucking – I'm like 100 push-ups.
Like, you little asshole. Start running.
Also, tomorrow night, Roy Nelson – is fighting Javi Ayala.
I kind of miss him.
Well, Roy Nelson could be the Bellator champion, and that would be the best thing to happen to Bellator.
Yeah.
Is have that fat fucking slob be the face of.
Just eat a fucking rib dinner and then go out and knock someone out.
Oh, it's not because
Roy. Ribs still in his beard.
Yeah. With the barbecue sauce in his beard. Yeah.
My favorite story about Roy Nelson was that, like, I remember Dan Hardy was training with him. He's like, yeah, he built a gym in his kitchen. I'm like, how fucking lazy are you where you have to like...
Hey, I mean, I don't want to talk too much shit, but I seen that dude train one time in Vegas at... what's that gym out there?
Alliance? Extreme Couture? Or...
It wasn't Extreme Couture. I want to say it was like Throwdown.
Syndicate?
Well, it used to be Throwdown. Syndicate or...
Okay, it was that place. Yeah, because it was Syndicate when I went there. It was when I went on Ultimate Fighter. And I saw him train Forrest Griffin, and they literally did like 3 2-minute rounds of like wrestling against the wall, and they fucking called it a day. I was like, holy shit, that's all they fucking train? He's like, Roy Nelson's got to make weight. I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's a fat bastard. Like,
it makes weight.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
Now, do you think Roy Nelson, though, that people say if he actually fought the weight that, like, at 185 or 170, he would be as good? But maybe he wouldn't because I remember Chris Bird, that boxer, you know, he went down to, like, 170 or something and got knocked the fuck out.
Joe Riggs.
Yeah, I mean,
it would all depend on whether, like, if he went down, would he be like faster? Because that's gonna be the thing.
I don't think he'd have that power, though.
Yeah, I think he's too good at being fat and fighting the way he is right now, and like that's his big advantage.
Yeah,
he definitely doesn't bother his cardio.
No.
I could see if he was fat and he was like, you know,
feels weighing him down.
Yeah, it was weighing him down, but it's like if anything, it just adds power to his punches. Like he's got all that weight behind him. I feel like it works for him.
I do worry about a guy like that though getting CTE. A guy like
gout.
No, not say, like concussion. Whatever the concussion. Oh, yeah, because a guy. Oh my god! And not just taking too many shots. We're talking about taking shots from like Dos Santos, from the Black Beast. And you look at. I mean, that dude has
He's been hit pretty good, but I mean, who's really knocked him out besides Mark Hunt? Like,
that's what I worry about. Like,
because they say the thing with CTE, it's not the concussions the doctors worry about. They're worried about the subconcussions.
Yeah, it's after.
The hits that you're taking, like, while you're knocked out.
Okay. Well, that's why football and boxing are proving to be far more dangerous.
Yeah.
Because, first off, the concussion is still as bad. It still does the same brain damage, a little one. But the smaller ones, you don't you taking stop. Time off.
Yeah, you don't stop.
It's like boxing with headgear and doing
rattled for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, you get rattled. You don't go. Yeah. Oh, you don't want to be a pussy and go like not yeah. finish the round. So you finish the rounds. You continue this guy's.
And then you spar the next day again in boxing. You know, whatever. You're back in there sparring again, getting hit again.
I got no problem talking sitting out. Like if I get rocked, I'll sit out for that week. And my coaches talk shit. Well, sometimes because I don't say shit. I'm just
you
like,
have to.
You're not getting hit, motherfucker.
Yeah, I do.
No, you have to for and not only is it for longevity's sake, but the fact is that. When you get hit, when you get knocked out, or you even get close to knocked out, it takes a while, and definitely within a fight. Like when someone's rocked early, and you go, "Oh, they've recovered." Yeah, they've recovered, but the chin is still not where it was when the beginning of the fight. But that takes a while for your brain to recover from that. So it's like you need actual time off. It's like, oh, I took a couple of days. Sorry, that's not.
No, that's why you look at all these guys at back. Like they talk about the back in the military fighting systems, where like. Every day was like fucking crazy sparring and wars or the Hammer House guys. And I don't know. A guy like Roy Nelson. But I personally, though, the fighters that like I see maybe a little punchy are usually the ones that it's not only fighting, but they're also doing drugs and alcohol. I think when you combine –
But you blame them.
When you combine all that –
drugs and alcohol, I mean.
It's a bad – because you see like some
it
of these guys
– affecting your brain as well too doing that shit.
I mean you put in like the cocaine and the alcohol and getting punched in the head. It's just a bad combination.
I don't know. I've never heard of a fighter doing drugs before.
Aaron Pico versus that's Justin. A really weird thing. Aaron Pico is fighting Justin Lin. Pico probably – so far, this year's worst managed fighter.
He only fought that one fight that he lost, right?
Yeah, but the guy was a wrestling phenom. Best in the country.
This is fucking MMA. This isn't wrestling.
But that's what I'm saying. But he foregoes college to do the Olympic Training Center, which is like the worst. You're going to get so much better in college wrestling seniors, juniors, All-Americans than you would bringing in your own fucking team.
Olympians?
People. I don't care. It's just a matter of like it just the grind versus guys that are like catered towards you versus guys that don't give a fuck about you, seniors and juniors that are like, I'm gonna fucking test you every day.
I see. Like,
that's my personal opinion because he didn't make the Olympic team.
You feel like he kind of just got fathered in there, huh? Like,
I think so. I think they're like, okay, we're gonna bring in your camp.
He did,
and then he goes to AKA and whatever, and they put him up against a guy who it was like 10-3, and this dude's 0-0, and he gets knocked out in 30 seconds. It's like, no, put him up against a guy who has like no knockouts on his record. Maybe a guy who's like 5-4 with like five wins. All something. You don't put him against just bad.
Hey man, it's Aaron Pico. He's a badass wrestler. He can fight anyone.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, right. It's exactly. It's just too much. But we'll see. You know, sometimes that first loss is the best thing that ever happened to you.
My loss was like one of the best things that happened to me.
Yeah.
That shit fucking.
Your girlfriend left you. You were like.
Yeah. Fucked up. Fucking last couple of years, dude. Got me going.
I remember Vince is like. Vince had a friend with a neck tattoo who looked like he had never been employed in his life. This dude looked like it was like central casting, and he calls me up and he's like, "Yo, man, you got to help Vince out." The guy. I'm like, this dude's telling me to reach out to Vince. Exactly. That's when I knew that you had some issues. I think I called you like that day. I'm like, "Are you okay, man?" I'm like, fucking
why? Why do you ask? Because Little Smokey just called me.
Yeah. Little Creeper hit me up.
Basically, a homeless guy was like, "Vince is in bad shape." I'm like, so I was like, "All right." So let's talk about after that we have Eduardo Dantas next week against Darian Caldwell. Dantas is 20-4, Brazilian.
Is that for a title?
Yeah.
Against Caldwell?
He was supposed to fight him last time, but he got injured. And then that's when
Caldwell's
Higo
beat him.
Stepped in. And Higo, a lot of people think Higo won that fight.
A lot of people close. Do. Yeah. So who do you think wins this fight?
I think Caldwell wins.
Caldwell's going to smash him, I
think. Dantas is, I don't know.
I think Caldwell wins. You too, Vince? You don't know these guys?
I mean, I feel like I should pick the other guy just to create controversy.
But Daniel Strauss taking on Emmanuel Sanchez.
I don't know anything about Emmanuel Sanchez, but Daniel Strauss is another one of these guys. Like, yeah. He just monsters people that he shouldn't and then loses to guys like...
Sanchez is pretty good. He trains out at Duke Rufus's gym, but I don't think he's ready for Daniel Strauss.
Dude, Strauss one time lost, and I was like, hey, man, keep your head up. And he's like, man, I was so afraid you were going to roast me. I'm like, this is what you were fucking...
That's all I could think about in the fight.
Yeah.
Like, what is Adam tweeting right now?
I was like, Jesus Christ.
I was not part of those texts from last night.
I was like, Jesus Christ, man. Also, Joe Tamangelo, I think he's a guy from Isn't the guy that he's the guy that beat Caldwell?
Oh, that guy's good.
Yeah. He's fighting Higo.
Ooh, he'll beat Higo.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. Because he's got pretty good jiu-jitsu, Joe, and he hits really fucking hard. And I think Higo's defensive boxing isn't good enough to deal with the big heavy punches. I think when you hit Higo, as soon as you hit Higo, he wrestled, and you almost out jiu-jitsu'd Higo when he was afraid of getting hit. Yeah. If this guy hits him and Higo shoots, he's going to guillotine him. Even as good as Higo is on it.
So you fought Higo. Who do you think wins this fight?
I've only seen Tamayo fight one time, so I don't know.
He's a hit or miss kind of guy too, though. I think
he's from Guam.
Yeah, I don't know that guy either. I know.
I've been to Guam. There's like
we're signed by
10
the same
guys.
So I'm gonna pick with him.
All right, and you? You don't know these guys either. All right,
I would say Higo because I don't know the other.
The next day, October 7th, Kevin Lee versus Tony Ferguson. Kevin Ferguson was Kimbo Slice. Kevin Lee versus Tony Ferguson. I'm picking Kevin Lee. A lot of people are telling me I'm crazy. Look. Tony's so unconventional, but Tony leaves himself open a lot, and he gets away with shit that he shouldn't get away with because he's so good, but eventually that catches up to you.
Yeah. I don't know, honestly.
Not yet, though.
Yeah.
Tony, even though Kevin's black?
Yep.
Even though he's black?
Really? You're half Guatemalan?
He's half Ferguson.
Okay, so you're half Ferguson. So you're right in the middle.
A draw.
Now, weren't you your Ultimate Fighter? That was your season, right? Ferguson won?
No, he was one before me. I actually tried to get on his season, but I only had two fights at the time. They wouldn't take me. But I'm going to say Ferguson. I mean, Lee's good, and he's super explosive, and he's pretty dynamic. But so is Ferguson. I think Ferguson will eventually wear him down to the point where Lee won't be that explosive fighter that he is.
It's a five-round fight. Yeah, he's all muscular.
I think skill-wise, both of those guys are good, and both of those guys can be world champions. I just think right now, experience-wise, I think Tony's beat a lot of guys. He's on a long win streak. So I think experience-wise, that's how I'm going to
make it. I can't even think of who...
I don't honestly
can't even
believe
think of
that Lee deserves
other than
that
the
shot.
Chiesa fight.
Lee fought Chiesa. Lee knocked out... Lee beat Trinaldo. Stopped Trinaldo.
Okay.
He lost to Ally at Quinta, but that was his first fight in the UFC.
He lost to another guy, too, that hasn't
jiu-jitsu
even had a
guy?
Shot. Yeah, the jiu-jitsu guy. Yeah. He knocked him out, right? TKO.
Yeah, yeah. But then Lee beat the Asian dude from Black House.
Oh, you mean... Jessica's.
Yeah. Why can't I remember his name?
I like that kid.
Moonwalker. James
Moonwalker. I was at that fight. Lee worked him. And he also beat the kid from Australia. Young kid from Johnson. I forgot the kid's name. He was a main eventer. But Lee beat him. I was at that fight, too.
Wasn't Chiesa kind of working him until
no.
The bottom?
No. Lee.
Trying to remember.
Yeah, he was getting.
Yeah, he wasn't.
Now,
he was getting rid of the exchanges.
Now, people are saying this is a slap in the face that Demetrius Johnson, who's fighting Ray Borg on this card, is not the main event. Because people are saying... they're saying, you know...
Well, I mean, that fight, the Ferguson Lee was already put together, and then that happened, and they just threw him on there. So, I mean, that's the reason why.
Okay, I don't know that.
But it is a pay-per-view event, and he is the champion, and they're calling him pound for pound the best fighter. Yeah, he's the co-main. He's pound for pound the best fighter in the world.
I think they should have changed him to the main. Honestly,
they should have. I don't think Ferguson or Lee would have.
For some reason, they say that which I don't get. I just don't get. They say he doesn't sell. I don't understand why people don't want to watch that guy. He is the most exciting fighter in the UFC, in my opinion.
Yeah, but he's fighting guys that like he's so overmatching them that the people are like, you know what? It's not as fun. And also the fact that he's 125, which. I don't know
what the problem is with that, though.
People feel bad watching little kids fight.
I hate heavyweights, though. Like, heavyweights bore the shit out of me.
Yeah,
it's not boxing in the 70s.
They don't like the little guys. Like, they see him, they meet him, they go, oh, he's 5'3". Like, because my wife ran into him at Disneyland. Like,
they're like, I can whoop his ass.
She'd realize I was Mickey Mouse, right?
she's like, I didn't realize he was that small. And I think that's the reaction, like, people will have, like, when they see him and they go...
He's also people are saying that he won't go to 35 and take on that they're saying he's not going to go up and that he should.
I think it's because he's just not a loudmouth fucking asshole.
That helps.
I think that's the reason.
Because he's intelligent, respectful, and good.
Yeah, he's like civilized.
GSP is from Canada.
It's true. He has a fucking country behind him.
He has a country behind him, but also.
But people started not liking him with all the you know wrestling he was doing for a while.
But the Canadians still liked him. Yeah. Canadians always love him. They're lovable people.
Well, yeah, he's their fucking scapegoat. He's like all they really have.
But there have been guys that have captured the imagination his size, like in boxing, like Prince Nassim, Barrera, even Chocolito. But the thing is that these guys were also Americans are just not supportive towards other Americans. We're spoiled. We have too much other shit going on. Right. If Demetrius Johnson was from India, the fucking whole country of India would be behind him.
Yeah.
9 million pay-per-views.
Yeah, if he was from China, they'd all be behind him. It's weird.
Yeah, start claiming he's Chinese.
Even, yeah, exactly.
But even what's the name? Mike Perry. If Mike Perry was from Ireland or fucking Scotland or whatever, they'd all be like, Mike Perry. But Mike Perry's from Florida.
The dude killed me with his little chicken dance in this fucking last fight. That shit fucking had me cracking up.
Now, you called out Ali Aquinta recently on Twitter.
Yeah, and that fucker didn't respond. Shit, he knows I'll whoop his ass.
He didn't respond at all?
Jim Miller. I tried to call it Jim Miller, too. He didn't respond.
Jim Miller? No. Nobody's responding to you, huh?
No.
The only Shane Crutcher responded to you, but he's not in the UFC.
Yeah, and I think he's way smarter than me, too.
Yeah. So Derek Lewis is taking on Verdum. The Black Beast is back. I think Verdum wins this fight. I think he takes him down and submits him.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. That's the hard part, is it? You know, one punch from that dude. Yeah. One punch from that dude is all it takes.
So Mighty Mouse, Ray Borg, we're all picking Mighty Mouse?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am.
But I wouldn't be surprised.
But I want Ray Borg to win. For the record, I want Ray Borg to win.
Really? Why is that?
Because he calls in the podcast, and he's a nice guy.
Mighty Mouse will call me.
No, I
want Mighty Mouse to win, because I would like to see him.
Your phone rings right now. If he
defends that, gets that 11th shot, 11th title, sets the record, and then he decides to either go up or meet somewhere and fight TJ or fight Cody. If he does that, I'm down.
He says he would fight Cody.
I would love to see him fight Cody.
The thing is, he didn't want to fight Dillashaw because he's like, okay, he's not the champion. He's not and he's coming down. What if he doesn't make the weight? That was his whole thing. He said, he's like, if Garbrandt said he would, if it was Garbrandt who was coming down, he said he would have fought him.
So it's a lose-lose for him with Dillashaw, because if he loses, he's not the champion. I think Dillashaw
doesn't have a fight.
I think Dillashaw might be Cody. I hate to say it, but people are like sleeping on Dillashaw and how good he's looked.
No, Dillashaw is good. I've been obviously very increasingly impressed with Cody, but at first, I mean, the first couple fights, I'm like, guys are just running into stupid punches. He's not that great. I was like, this guy isn't very good. I wasn't impressed by him at all. And then even when he beat, you know, I thought Almeida was going to beat him, but then Almeida doesn't really seem like he's got much of a chin. And he
fell off.
Yeah, I think it's people were fighting his fight. And then I'm like, okay, he's a little better than I thought he was. And then when he beat Dom, I was like, all right, maybe I was wrong all this time. Yeah. Like, you know.
Now, have you ever sparred with Dom?
Yeah.
Who won?
Probably. He probably landed more shots because that fucker's fast.
He's so quick? Yeah.
He's so fast.
Is that frustrating?
It is. It makes me mad. I want to fucking just...
Because you're three weight classes up and this little fucker is like... But you know, if it was a real fight and you landed one punch, it would be over.
Yeah, with the little gloves, yeah.
Yeah.
His head would probably come off.
Now, Dwayne Ludwig training used to be Cody's trainer. Now is TJ's trainer. You as a trainer, how much is an advantage of a guy who used to train your opponent?
I think it's more an advantage that they train together, if anything. Because I don't know that... I mean, if you're a semi-decent coach, you should be able to see what people's weaknesses and strengths are, regardless of whether you actually ever train them or not. I mean, sure, being in the room as a coach, if I used to train somebody, I know, you know, there are people that I've trained that we may have to fight someday, that I know exactly what they do, and I watch them like, well, they still haven't fixed that thing.
Yeah.
Because whoever they're training with now probably doesn't recognize or whatever. I'm like, oh, they still haven't fixed, like the Luke Rockhold, everyone talking about him dropping his right hand or whatever, and everyone knows it, and they're saying, okay, someone's got to fix that. But, I think ultimately it comes down to the fighter, man. I really do. I mean, not to put myself out of a job, but, you know, you can make people better, and you can influence people, and you can do a lot of things if you're a good coach, but it comes down to the fighter. The difference is I think both those guys they learn a lot. Dillashaw, as much as I don't really like the guy, he just reminds me of like every like frat boy bro guy, whatever. Actually, they kind of both do. That is, he gets better. Just gets better.
Well, you know? It's crazy. Like I know in college wrestling, the only like one of the, I think in college my record was like 12-3 or something before I quit like halfway through my first semester. Two things. First of all, one of the matches, my coach was like, this guy's got a great head and arm. watch out for the head and arm. And then all I kept thinking was, man, the guy, and it completely fucked up. Like, if I would have just done whatever I would have done, I would have beaten him. My last match ever, after I lost to the kid with the fucking head and arm, I was so angry because there were all these, we were at Oneonta, and all the fucking hot slots went to Oneonta. And like, and I was mad because, and my sister went there, so I was going to go to her sorority house afterwards, and like, I wanted to impress them. I was beating up this kid so bad in college wrestling that his coach threw in the towel. In a fucking college wrestling match.
Wow.
And that was my last match ever. Nice. But I was like, motherfucker, like that's how, because I was cutting from 50 to 34 every week, which is just a bad cut. Anyway, that being said, Jessica I, Paige Van Zandt. I like, Jessica I is so funny. If you want to follow somebody on Facebook, Jessica I, because yeah, she's like, fucking Kevin Hart's a fucking piece of shit for cheating, and fuck him, and I hope his fucking whole career is done, and fuck it, yeah, and like people, and then she gets in the fights with people all fucking day, but Kevin Hart, look, he just shouldn't be married.
Right.
Just don't get married. Yeah. Like, there is, like, you could fuck the baddest chicks in the world. And it's obviously, that's the problem. You fuck, you know, the problem is you fucked some badass girl and you spend a couple weeks with her and you look in her eye and you're like, oh, I want to fucking marry this chick. You're like, this is it. And then a month into it, you're like, what the fuck have I done? And that's what happens with Kevin Hart. Plus, you know, he wasn't getting much pussy in high school, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Right. I used to play basketball with fucking, at 2 a.m, I used to play with Colin Quinn, Patrice O'Neill, Rich Voss, Kevin Hart, DC Benny would play. We used to play Robert Kelly at like 2 a.m. at these, like, in New York City. And Kevin Hart was the best fucking basketball player I've ever played. He is so fucking quick. And guarding him fucking sucked. Anyway.
Two or something.
Yes. Right? He's amazing, though. Jessica I versus Paige Van Zandt. I think Jessica I wins. I think Paige Van Zandt, I'm sorry to say, if she didn't have the looks and the charisma and who she was, I'm not even sure. I don't know. I mean, she did beat Felice Herrig, which was, you know, but...
I think she would still be there. She's tough. She's scraps. She's tough. She pushes her fucking pace.
Her skill level's not quite there yet.
But, yeah, there's some holes in her. And apparently, like, I guess there's some, like, mental things with her too. Like, she's jumped around camps and like people have called her a diva. Like, I don't want to fucking speak on her because I don't know her. But that's just what I've heard, what people have said. So it could be like a mental thing with her as well.
I think she got mad at me because, like, at one point she was dating Cody.
Yeah.
And then before that she was dating Touchy Feely. And I had them both on the podcast and I asked her how she was in bed and something. And then, like, neither of them answered. But after that, she quickly unfollowed me on Twitter. So sorry, Paige, but anyway.
No, he's not.
No. I'm not saying, look. Maybe she would still be there. I take that back. But I think Jessica I is going to win this fight. I just think Jessica I is too She's big. Tough, yeah. Also, I think when Jessica you come down from 35 to 25 and you come up from 15 to 25,
that's
just
a big gap.
Yeah.
Were they fighting at 25?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Paige isn't that big.
No.
25?
She's tiny.
She said, I don't know. I guess she didn't like cutting into fucking one.
I'll tell you though, I saw her at a party one time dancing and she has like these thick thighs. Like,
did she?
Oh my, but like, not like muscle thick. Like,
oh, yeah, don't try to unconvince me. I'll still do dirty things to her.
Yeah, she that chick.
Remember me.
Yeah, yeah. So Benil Dariush is taking on Evan Dunham.
I kind of wanted to fight Evan Dunham.
Everyone wants to fight Evan Dunham.
Man, he'd be
a fun
though.
Striker to fight.
He's good. He's another guy that impresses me all the time. But aside from his last fight, Benny's good, man. Yeah. That kid's tough. He's good everywhere. He's good on the ground. He's got really crisp striking. Yeah, I see. I don't know that Dunham's going to be able to beat Benny.
I think Benny wins this fight. Tom Dukanoy is taking on Cody Stamann. Who's Tom Dukanoy?
Kid's a French striker. He's pretty good. Pretty good
oh,
striker.
He's fighting that guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but does that guy have any ground?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Because I don't think that guy's even as good of a striker as you. And if he doesn't have as good of wrestling defense or jiu-jitsu, then Cody's going to...
Yeah.
Didn't he almost lose his first fight? Was he the guy that almost lost his first fight?
Yeah, he got rocked. He got rocked, but he ended up knocking the guy out. Whoever, I forgot who he fought, though.
Oh, Cody's going to win this fight. They're dumb.
I think he fought Zahabi's brother. Did he fight Zahabi's brother?
Yeah.
Farah Zahabi's brother?
Yeah, I think you're right.
They got to build him up in France. What are they doing?
No, he's undefeated, though, and he's
No, he's not. He's 15-1.
Oh, he's 15-1.
No, he's not. it's tough, man. The 35 division now is like how 55 is.
45. Oh, they're fighting at 35. Yeah. They have one of 145. Okay, if Cody at 45, because that's what he fought at.
That's what he fought in the... Yeah. That's what they fought. I mean, it's a goddamn featherweight. I was trying to find my fight like on, like, on Fight Pass. And I'm going through like the bantamweight profiles, and like I see some of the guys they just signed from the Contender Series, and they're on there. I'm like, oh fuck, I just fucking followed the UFC, and they put me on there.
You think it's because you're black?
Well, that's, no, I didn't know. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, maybe they just like fuck, maybe they just didn't like me or something like that. And then I realized like for some, I started watching like because I watch fights all the time, and like. And I went to like featherweight. I'm like, oh, they have me listed as a fucking featherweight. And like after the fight too, like people were like paying, like people paid matchmakers. Like, oh, I think Teardown should fight Charles Wilson next. I'm like, that dude's a fucking 45er.
Yeah,
I'm not a 45er. Like I just fought at 45. It was on 8 days notice.
So I'm like, telling him, I'm like, you know that he weighed in fight day with all of his clothes on at 150.
Jesus Christ.
I'm like, come on, he's not a 45er, dude.
So Will Brooks taking on Nick Lentz. I thought they were both at ATT. Weren't they both at ATT?
They don't care.
Oh, I don't know.
They fight. Mike Perry just God, was going to fight
Tiago. Will Brooks.
Mike Perry was supposed to fight Tiago, and they're both at ATT.
But he's ATT. So, ATT, like different part of Florida, though. I thought they were from both in Miami. Like, he's ATT Jacksonville or something, or right. Fort Lauderdale.
I thought they were both in Florida.
Yeah, but Florida, but different parts, like 4 hours away.
Yeah, like one's Coconut Creek and one's...
Yeah.
That gym is so goddamn big. Probably people are probably...
You could probably fight at the other end of the gym. Oh, he's at the west end.
I've never seen him train before. Well, that's one of the things that Carlos Condit said, like when he fought GSP, like everyone thought that they trained together. He's like, I've never trained with him.
Yeah.
It's like the gym is just, especially ATT, is so goddamn big, you probably never see guys.
So Nick Lentz, a big Trump supporter.
Is he really?
Yeah, a huge Trump supporter. Yeah. I know he also...
He retweets.
What? He also hates the fact that transgenders have bathrooms and this whole thing. He's fighting Will Brooks, another outspoken guy. This should be a funny...
I like Will Brooks, though. He's a big dude, by the way. But he didn't look good his last fight, did he?
I thought after he beat Chandler twice that this dude was going to be the next big thing in MMA.
Yeah, he lost to somebody.
He lost to
one of the cowboys who didn't make weight. And then I think...
Oh, the Brazilian cowboy?
Oh, the Brazilian cowboy.
But then I think he lost again after that.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think he lost both of his fights.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? That's so weird how guys from one don't do well in the other.
It was funny, like, when he was in Bellator, I wasn't impressed. And then when he fought Chandler, I was like, how the fuck did he beat Chandler?
Twice.
Yeah.
I think some guys just have your number.
Yeah.
Bobby Green taking on Lando Venata.
Bobby,
you think?
Yeah, but that Lando
Bobby's my boy.
Yeah,
Bobby's my boy too. I don't know who.
But Lando Venata is the guy that almost beat Ferguson. Yeah, had those crazy kicks.
Oh, is that guy
freaking good?
Yeah, but he got subbed, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he lost his next fight too. So,
but you know the thing, Bobby's the guy that everybody I've ever talked to, including myself, who's ever trained with Bobby or is like most talented dude
ever
physically ever. Like, just, but he doesn't get in there.
I sparred with that guy. It was the most frustrating 5 minutes of my life.
Really?
Yeah, it was the most frustrating 5 minutes of my life.
Yeah, he's super talented, but he's not always dedicated, so we'll see which Bobby shows up.
Pearl Gonzalez, who I only know because she got implants and almost couldn't fight in New York because of it. Remember? Really, she was the one that, like, they wouldn't let her fight in New York because of the implants. Then she fought anyway and lost. But she's fighting Poliana Botello. I don't know who that is, but I gotta go for Pearl because of the implants. John Moraga is taking on Magomed Baybalutov, 14-0.
Is he from Dagestan?
I'm sure.
Yes.
One of those guys.
It's Freddie Moraga. Walt Harris versus Mark Godbeer. That should be a good fight. Talos Latis versus Brett Tavares.
Oh, damn.
Really?
That's a tough fight.
I'm going with Brad, too. And then Matt Schell is taking on Marco Beltran. I like Mark Schell, right?
Wait, Schnell? Schnell, is that 25?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Schnell might have that one.
Wasn't Beltran a 35er before, though?
I think they both... Yeah, Nat Schneller was. He fought once there.
I thought
Beltran was a 35er. I think he did. But I think he took fought at 35 because they didn't have an opening or something.
Also, UFC Poland, Cerrone versus Darren Till. Who do you like in that fight?
Who's Darren Till?
He's 12-0.
There's your answer.
12-0. He's a good fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No idea.
I think he drove...
That's a headliner?
Yeah, it's a headliner. It's Poland. They're not that smart. I'm kidding. Warley Alves is taking on Jim Wallhead in that fight, too. Artem Lobov taking on Andre Feely.
I'm going with Andre.
Yeah, Feely.
Yeah, Lobov is... That's Conor's boy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't he retire? I thought he retired.
Who, Conor?
No, Conor's boy.
Oh.
He thought he was getting more money than he was from Conor. So he has to fight.
Right.
And then...
actually got a fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
And train?
And then the UFC Fight Night 119. I'm just going on the UFCs right now. Machida versus Derek Brunson.
I didn't know Machida was fighting again.
I'm going to say Brunson.
Yeah, God, how long is
Brunson's a fucking big scary black man.
Yeah, I think he's actually straightened out his fighting to also, he's not just running into people and he was getting away with bad habits for a while
he's actually getting more intelligent the way he fights.
I guess I'm the only guy on the planet that didn't think he beat
Anderson Silva.
I thought Anderson won. I'm watching going, Anderson won. Everyone's making a huge deal like, hey, Anderson got lucky and Brunson got robbed. I'm like, I don't know what everybody watched. I didn't see Brunson do anything significant in that fight personally. I'm also a big Anderson fan, but.
And then Damian Maia is fighting Colby Covington on this card. This is UFC Fight Night in Brazil.
Maia's got it.
Colby, I'm going for Colby. That's my boy. Also on that card, Boston Salmon. My boy Boston, he actually. I love Boston Salmon.
He mentions these guys.
No, I love him. He's taking on. I'll see if you know these guys. He's taking on Augusto Mendes.
Yeah, I like Boston. He's a cool kid.
Wait, who's Augusto Mendes?
He's a Brazilian kid. Who did he fight the way? I can't remember who he fought.
Dude, Boston isn't that much of a ground game, does he? But he's hard as hell to take down.
Hard to take down.
Hard to take down.
He's got heavy hands.
And then Jim Miller, that's why he didn't want to fight you. He's fighting Trinaldo on that card.
Whatever, dude. Whatever, Jim Miller.
And then of course UFC November 4th, Bisping versus GSP. I'm picking Bisping.
Me too.
Bisping.
Yeah.
And then
did Bisping say he was going to retire after that fight?
Yeah. Luke Rockhold.
I mean, I kind of hope he loses now.
Luke Rockhold. I think he's pissing Luke Rockhold off.
Yeah,
he is. He's like doing just to piss him off. Yes.
But then Cody versus TJ. I'm picking TJ. Who are you picking?
He's such an asshole. TJ or who? Or
Cody.
Yeah, that's a real.
I'm gonna say Garbrandt. Because I wasn't, honestly, like, I didn't think Garbrandt was that good at first when he first started coming out. And then, like, as I progressively started fighting more and more, I started seeing, like, okay, he's actually a fucking good, like, fighter. And TJ, I kind of thought was a good fighter, but now is, like, dropping off on me. I feel like he's kind of being over.
Right. Joanna Rose? Joanna, right?
Yeah.
Anyone pick her?
Wait, who's she
fighting? Which Rose Namajunas?
She's fighting Rose Namajunas. I didn't even know that.
Jesus. I don't know.
Joanna's gonna win, but dude, I like Rose, man. Rose.
I know Rose is pretty.
Depending on which Rose shows up,
yeah, you don't sleep on that chick.
She's fucking good. It's hard to pick against her, but
she looks so skinny and
she's like a little honey badger.
No way. This is her thorn, and every rose has its thorn, as Brett Michael says.
I say Joanna.
Johnny Hendricks taking on Paulo Baracinha.
I don't even know who that is. I don't even know Paulo, but Paulo.
He's 10-0.
Fucking big.
He's huge.
He's too big.
And he's at 85?
Yeah.
He's gonna fuck.
What? And if Hendricks misses weight at 85
again,
dude,
and
that kid's too fucking big.
Curtis Blaydes taking on Alexei Olenek. Isn't Alexei the guy that beat Ronda's boyfriend, Travis Brown, husband?
Yeah. I'm going with
Olenek. I'm going to Curtis Blaydes, 8-1 wrestler, tough guy. Masvidal versus Stephen Thompson.
Although his name sounds fake. Curtis Blaydes. Masvidal. Like
Masvidal versus Thompson.
I didn't know Thompson was even still fighting.
Dude, Masvidal keeps, same thing, another guy that it doesn't seem like I can't figure out what his skill is other than kicking people's asses. Like, I don't know what
he's thinking. Yeah, he's really good, but he's kind of like a super hit and miss guy too sometimes, where he was for a little bit.
He was. And then finally, Corey Anderson versus Patrick Cummings.
Yeah, I'm going to say Patrick Cummings just because of that glorious mustache he rocks.
Corey's pretty good, but I think Cummings. And then finally, Mickey Gall taking on Randy Brown. Randy Brown is the guy.
Oh, like Mickey Gall is the guy
like
that
bar
beat.
Fight in Ireland.
What's his name?
Mickey Gall.
Oh, Mickey Gall.
Mickey Gall beat Sage Northcutt.
No, and, it was, what's his name?
The wrestler.
Oh, no, he beat CM Punk.
Yeah,
and Sage Northcutt. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, he beat
Northcutt too?
Yeah.
I didn't know he fought Sage.
Yeah, and Randy Brown.
Oh, yeah, that's right, he did.
Randy Brown, he lost to Bilal Muhammad. Randy Brown's the guy from Looking for Fight, big, tall, black dude.
Fucking super athletic.
Bilal? Yeah. He's tough. No, Brown.
Brown, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Gall beats him.
I think so, too. I think his ground game is better.
Pettis versus Poirier, UFC Fight Night 120. November 11th.
My heart tells me Pettis, because Pettis is still, when he's on, he's my favorite fighter to watch. But man, he hasn't been looking good, and Poirier has. That's a tough one to call. Poirier is a tough dude, man.
He is. I kind of want to fight him. I think he would be a fun fight too.
Is he at 55s now?
Yeah, he is.
And Poirier follows me on Twitter, so I came to my show. I'm picking Poirier.
I like to see you fight. The other who I thought was going to be champion at 45, and I don't know what happened to him. Now he's at 55, and is Eric Koch. That kid's good. That'd be a good fight.
Oh, yeah. I was actually looking at him, too.
That'd be a good fight. Eric Koch's good, though, man. But you can, you know, he's totally beatable.
Who did he fight last? I was watching his last fight.
Shit, who did he just lose?
Did he lose, too?
Yeah, he lost.
Somebody. He lost.
Wasn't Poirier?
No.
Matt Brown versus Diego Sanchez? Who are we picking?
Probably Brown.
Matt Brown.
Is it 170?
This is his last fight.
Yeah, he fought.
It's funny because Sanchez is listed at 145, and now he's fighting at 170 because his last fight was at 45.
Wow. Whose was?
Diego's.
Oh, yeah, it was, huh?
Now he's going up to 170 to fight Matt Brown.
He's all over the place.
John Dawson versus Marlon Moraes.
He did. I came back from the dead.
I want him to stop fighting.
Yeah, I want both of them to stop fighting. Dawson versus Marlon Moraes.
Oh, that's a shout. I did not even know about these fights.
I didn't know about that fight.
Dawson. I got Dawson all day long. That's my man.
I know. He's my guy, too.
Yeah, I think the speed's going to mess with Moraes because Moraes is not going to be able to leg kick him all day.
Angela Hill versus Nina Ansaroff. Angela's my girl. But Nina's good though. Nina's tough. That's what's her name's girlfriend too.
No, I just don't like her because Claudia. I don't like her because she said she was going to be champion. Like, how are you going to call her champion? She's like three fights.
Nate Marquardt versus Cesar Ferreira.
What, Nate Marquardt still fighting?
Yeah, I guess
he's got to be kidding me. Marquardt actually looked pretty good.
Yeah, he did look good.
He's been looking pretty good.
Court McGee versus Sean Strickland.
Court McGee still fighting?
Yes.
I love Court McGee. I will always love.
Yeah, like Court McGee.
Court McGee.
He's the Conor McGregor of Utah.
the Mormons.
Clay Guida versus Joe Lozon.
Lozon. I don't like Guida.
Why?
Boy.
He's a fucking douche. I met him one time.
He's a nice cool guy.
He's the nicest guy.
Not to me. He was a douche.
You gotta go Clay?
Clay's a boy.
He has been looking pretty good, though, yeah.
He's actually a really awesome
guy. Fuck that guy.
That's so weird. He's actually a really nice guy.
Yeah, I met him. He was such a fucking dick. Like, total standoffish to me.
I think, though, like,
if
I was fanboying him a little bit because it was like,
I think
like, just
if you ask 100,000 people, even if you are the nicest person in the world, you're going to find
one guy who's like, that guy's a
That's
guy.
True. Me, if
I'm
one person.
That guy, I hate you.
I find one person that, like, actually likes me. So,
you did?
Says Northcutt versus Michael Quinones.
One day, he will.
I don't know who Michael Quinones is, but I'm picking him.
I'm going to go Quinones. Sage is a pussy, too. I tried to call him out, too. He wouldn't fight me at Anaheim.
Duh.
I'm pretty sure the UFC wouldn't give him to me either.
You would destroy his moneymaker.
Yeah, they're going to protect that kid from me.
And UFC Fight Night 121, we got Mark Hunt versus Marcin Tybura.
Hunt.
I thought Hunt.
Team Hunt.
Didn't Hunt just come out talking about how he was having slurring problems and...
He's a guy.
And then Beck Rawlings versus Joanna Calderwood.
Joe,
I want Beck though. I like Beck.
Wait, Beck Rawlings is fighting her?
Yeah.
Oh shit, man!
I gotta go for Beck.
I do them both. Girls on. She didn't look good her last fight though.
Well, she missed weight. Yeah. Somebody even thought she won though.
Is that a 25s?
Yeah, 115.
She should fight 25.
That's 115.
Calderwood needs to go to 25.
Yeah.
Daniel Kelly.
Isn't that big for
the 90-year-old judoka is fighting Elias Theodoro. Daniel Kelly versus Elias.
Dude, is it Daniel Kelly,
too pretty.
The guy that looks like he's 80 years old?
Yeah, he is. That's because, look, he is 80 years old.
Where's the knee wraps?
Yeah, he fucking... And every single time I think he's going to lose,
I saw that fucker fight,
dude.
He's
the one guy, like, you go on the basketball court, and he takes, like, 15 minutes to put on all his gear. He's like, all right, I'm ready.
But then he just drains threes, though.
He's a badass.
He looks like he should be starring in...
Like, come on, you fucking nerd.
He's like, all right, come back. He's like, you got to give me a game off, bro.
He looks like he should be starring in a Snatch 2 or something. Is like, he's Gorgeous George's uncle or something.
And then Anderson Silva versus Gastelum.
Gastelum
wins.
Another guy. Gastelum, another guy that beats everyone he shouldn't beat. But I can never go against Anderson Silva.
And then finally, UFC 218, Courtney Casey versus Felice Herrig. It's a good fight. Casey's tough.
Courtney Casey hits hard for a girl.
I think Felice is going to overwhelm her.
Yeah, if she can't knock Felice out early, then Felice is going to just wear on her and smash her.
Yeah, that's what I think is going to happen.
And UFC on Fox, we got Misha Cirkunov. He's the guy that just knocks...
I was like, she's back?
No, that guy just knocks everyone out with one punch. The guy who knocked out the guy with one punch from... the guy from England, the black guy from England.
No, that was like... That was the guy we were just talking
about.
Was he
a boxer? That was the other guy.
That was with the V.
Oh, okay. Misha's fighting. That's what I was thinking of. Misha's fighting.
It's like all slow. It looks like a fucking freight train coming by.
It's like
two times in a row. He's like, he was like, good night.
Yeah, so Misha's fighting Glover Teixeira in Canada.
Glover, another guy, like, I feel like maybe he hasn't been resting enough or something because it's like, his last couple fights, he's just been touched and like.
Yeah. He got my hopes up for a while. When he was on the tear, I was like, yeah, Glover. Like, because I was like a big fan of him for a while.
Yeah, me too.
It was tough for him, though. He had to go through like fucking murderer's road to get that. And then after he lost to John Jones, he had to fuck. There's like no build up fights. Like, okay, now you got to fucking fight Anthony Johnson. Fuck.
So,
that's a fucking scary motherfucker fight, too, dude.
So, what do you got coming up?
I'm sad he retired.
Besides my fight?
Just that.
Yeah.
Just that.
He might have meant that one for me.
Yeah, okay. So how can people get tickets to your fight?
Ticketmaster.com.
It's in Vegas, so it's
close. I'm so used to saying from, oh, you can get tickets from me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I got to sell 300 of them to get paid.
That's one thing that I, like, do not miss, dude. Yeah, yeah, right? Having to fucking sell tickets just to make more than, like, $500.
And Vince, what do you got coming up?
Nothing. I'm waiting. I'm honestly waiting. Like, I've been talking shit on Twitter, trying to call out some people I want to fight.
Call them up right now.
Well, first of all, Al, fight me, you fucking pussy.
Okay.
And Jim Murray, if you have someone else you want to fight, whatever, fight him, then I'll fight you later. I kind of want to fight Joe Lozon. I'll fight Eric Coach. I honestly want to fight, like, a top 20 guy. Like, I want to fight someone who's worth fighting.
What about Chiesa?
I'd fight Chiesa, but he just came off a loss. So, like, the way the UFC works is they'll only give you a guy that has the same...
Yeah, but he's ranked a lot higher than you. That'd be a good fight for you.
He is, but... I mean, he's also my friend, too. And, I mean, I don't like to beat my friends unless it's for something worthwhile. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I want to fight Dustin Poirier. Like, there's a lot of dudes I want to fight on the top of the list. But anyone who wants to fight me, dude, come on, motherfuckers.
Yes. Vince, the electrician Pichel. I like it.
Electrician.
He's not wearing big sunglasses and fucking fur.
His hands are electric.
Right?
Trying to make a slogan ready for me.
So show up with like a tool belt and like a, you know, like a Larry the Cable.
Bring all my tools and shit.
That'd be funny, like, if all of a sudden in the middle of your fight, the lights go out, and then it'd come back on, and the guy's knocked out somehow, like in the WWE. Like, the electrician strikes again. Like,
put my tool belt down.
So, nice. All right. So I live in LA. I want to go into the gym. Where should I go?
My gym is Fight Science MMA, and it's in it's between La Brea and Crenshaw in Washington. But FightScienceMMA.com. We're brand new, but the fight team has followed me for the last, you know, it's accumulated over the last 15 years. So the fight team is still there. Then, you know, all of the rest of our classes we're building. We literally started from ground zero and built the place in 20 days. So yeah, I mean, come out, try free class, come do it. We're also, rates are low right now because we're trying to get this place started, but it's dope. It's really nice, really clean gym. And you know, we've got a lot of the fighters going to be teaching classes, and I teach a lot of classes. It's a cool place. So FightScienceMMA.com. Hey, I want to throw this out there. I've been fighting with the fucking Netflix. Well, I haven't been fighting with the Netflix people. So I have my comedy special that's been done since January that I thought I had a deal. I had a verbal deal with a guy. The guy's no longer, by the time we get finished, the guy's no longer at Netflix, the guy that I had talked to. So it's a whole new group of people that are in a whole different.
Was it Buren Rabney?
What's that? No. Yeah, exactly. No, the guy was really cool. He bought Dwayne Perkins that I directed. His name was Devin. And he goes, oh, yeah, I love what you did with that. He goes, if you shoot another, he liked my first special. He goes, if you shoot another one, he goes, yeah, we'll totally be on that. So we do that. I finish it. I call the guy up and I go, hey, so we're done with it. He goes, oh, I don't do comedy anymore. You got to call these new guys. Well, the new people are fine people, but they're comedy insiders from Comedy Central and from the Montreal Comedy Festival, not people that I'm in their clique. So I can't just call them up. So I have my agent sending the stuff. So it's been 9 months, and I have not got an answer in 9 months as to whether my special is going to go anywhere. And there's no other place to go anymore.
About Amazon or Hulu?
I can do those, but it's all VOD. It's I got to hustle to get each person to give me $2 to rent it. You know, it's not the same as like they give you a chunk of money and they own it for 2 years or whatever. And anyway, Netflix brings millions of new fans. The other ones are all fans that would already be friends of mine. But anyway, so I'm trying to get. I've already had 2,000 people do this and personally email me. So I'm telling everyone, there's if you go help.netflix.com, there's a little on the right hand side. It's suggest a title, and click on that. Suggest whatever you want, but I'll suggest Ian Harris Extraordinary or Extraordinary. Just type in Ian Harris Extraordinary. Send. So like I said, I've already had over 2,000 people suggest it. I'm sure that's probably more than they've ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure they may go, well, when we get 100,000, I don't know what's a significant, number is, but in 2 weeks, they've gotten over 2,000 requests for this thing. So I'm I'm going to keep going until they get 10,000.
I would tell you to pray to God, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that's what got me in this position in the first
place. Well, listen, actually, and I will vouch, Ian Harris is one of the best comedians in the country right now. So you are guaranteed to laugh. And there's no reason this dude should not have a Netflix special. He's been doing it for a long time, and it shows because he's super hilarious. So do what he says. Springfield, Missouri. I will be there next week in Springfield, Missouri. I will be at I will be at the Blue Room Comedy Club in Springfield, Missouri next Friday and Saturday. Come get your tickets. So that's it. Hope you guys are doing well, and thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Terrion. Thank you, Vince. Thanks, thank you, Ian.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. Later. Take care. Bye.